All right.
Off the top, hold on a minute. Here we go. We've got a pre-roll.
Got a pre-roll.
This podcast, Off the Top, is sponsored by...
Wait, did we change the name of the podcast to Off the Top?
No. I'm saying Off the Top as in right away.
Maybe we should change the name of the podcast to Off the Top. That's not even bad.
I don't know. It kind of implies like...
So welcome for joining us at Off the Top.
Oh, stop okay. it.
All right, sorry.
The Friendcast this week is sponsored by Crunchyroll.
Crunchy Rolls.
Yeah.
Put them in your mouth, they crunch up.
That's not what it's about. Put them in your eyes. And your eyes crunch up? What? Crunchyroll.
Depends what you watch.
Crunchyroll is your source for everything anime. Bringing the best of Japanese animation and pop culture to Santa Clara, California on August 25th to 27th. Crunchyroll, the awesome service, has an expo. Crunchyroll Expo.
Yeah, it's like its own thing now.
Hardcore and casual fans alike will find hundreds of exhibits. X to the Z's.
I was about to say, is he going to be there? It's like, yo, man, Crunchyroll.
Exclusive merchandise. You know he loves anime.
Yeah, I've been.
Screenings, roundtable panels.
The My Hero Academia.
Boku no Hero to me. The cosplay masquerade, autograph signings, and guest appearances by some of the biggest personalities like in
exhibit.
The U.S. and Japan. Hey now, that's not what I said. What I am saying is early bird tickets are still available online at CrunchyrollExpo.com, cool. But prices go up at the gate. So
really? Well, that's standard practice.
Be smart. Be smart. Mm-hmm. If you're ahead of the curb watching anime, yeah. Be ahead of the curb and get
you're,
those.
You already are.
Save your money on the early bird tickets.
If you're using Crunchyroll, your money's like actually going into the anime industry and
You're streets ahead if you're using Crunchyroll.
Streets ahead. I like that.
So save $5 off weekend tickets with the code SUPER. So that's CrunchyrollExpo.com and enter their code SUPER at checkout to get your weekend tickets when? Today!
Okay. We have to start doing Mother's Basement style shilling with Crunchyroll now.
Hey, man. There's
He's really
nothing,
good at it.
Well, there's nothing. He is a master, and I don't aspire to even attempt to be anywhere near on Jeff's shilling bloodline technique level.
Yeah, no, it's in his blood now.
But
yeah.
What I can say is that I am super stoked whenever we get something like that, especially where I'm like, oh, you mean the thing I already use and love?
Yeah, me too.
Awesome.
I watched a couple episodes of Berserk, and I stopped watching it, and then I went to watch other things.
There you go. So yeah, man, that's what's going on. Other things going on is Patch, unfortunately, feeling not too good. So he's out this week.
Like, I had a knee appointment last Monday.
There
and
you
now
go.
He's sick today. I don't know what's going around.
We rotate.
Oh, I got to tell you some cool bionic shit about my knee now. I'll tell you
bionic
later.
Bionic shit about your knee?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you might as well fucking open with that.
Really?
I mean,
okay, well, now I can give people tiger knees. No. But yeah, like
Nico knees.
Back in PAX East when we were in Boston, my knee was really, really bothering me. And guess what we were doing all day?
Mm-hmm.
Walking around fucking all day, standing in lines all day.
That's true.
So I would pine. I would furiously start jerking off if I saw a booth that had the nice padded carpet. So I'm not like, you know, standing on the hard fucking concrete and just waiting in the line there. So I'd always love that. But like at that point, like I come home from when we got back home to Montreal and I talked to my parents. I was like, yeah, my knee's like really fucked up. And they're like, okay, well, you should make an appointment now because you're not going to get an appointment till months later. Because we go private for usually that type of stuff. You need to go see a knee specialist. It's in a private, you know, whatever. And so I finally got that fucking appointment last Monday. But my knee's been fine for 2 months. And I'm like, you know, you always have one of those things that's like, oh, okay, well, now my thing's fine, so I'll just walk it off, or I don't need to bother with it, because now it's fine.
Okay. Is it an orthopedist, but or is that just feet only? Does the orthopedist go up as high as the knee?
I don't know.
Do orthopedic – what is the range that
what
an orthopedist –
What is the over-under where the foot guy's like, you handle everything above that level.
Yeah.
I don't like those gross knees.
Do orthopedists have a – do they go up to like just above the knee level and stop
at man.
Absolute territory?
That's gross.
Is there like a Zetai barrier level for where the orthopedists
– an equator where they just don't venture.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's the same guy that I saw back in 2003. And I always remember this. I saw Return of the King when it came out.
Okay.
And on the way home, it came out in December. And on the way home, there's some ice. And I slipped and just tore ligaments in my knee, like on some ice. And oh, I had to wear a knee brace for like 6 months. Blah, blah, blah. I've talked about this before. So I had the guy, the same guy from back in 2003, look at my knee. And he's like, 3 to 5 years, you're probably going to need actual surgery.
Oh.
And I'm, and he's like, you just the, your cartilage is not great. What I can do if you want, now this is a really good stopgap measure, is that they will inject a gel into your knee and it stops the bones from rubbing against each other.
Okay.
Kind of like, he's like, it's really, really safe. He's like, actually, hold on. He goes through some papers and he's like, I gave this to your dad like a year ago.
Holy shit.
And I didn't know. And I asked my dad, I was like, that's true? He's like, yeah, it helped out a lot. Like, I haven't had a problem with it.
Just don't go play sports though.
Well, don't to begin with.
Yeah, okay. Just don't take any leg kicks.
Yeah.
From John Jones.
And of course, he's like, you need to probably lose some weight too. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Every time I go to a doctor, he's like, you know what? A lot of your problems could be solved, little fatty. And he like pokes me in the tummy. And I'm like, and he's just like, yeah, you need to do that too. And I'm like, all right, fine. So, but like,
have you been holding down back to up forward to get the proper motion to get the with kick? Cause
it comes out really inconsistently.
Okay.
I can't get the motion down. No. So, I'm going to see
1, 2, 3, 6, 9 K.
I'm going to see about maybe getting that injection. Cause they're like, it's an hour and then you're out.
Oh,
like
cool.
it's that type of quick in, easy in, easy out type thing. So
as much as Pat hates needles, I'm on board with a future where the solution to
inject
most problems.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, what's going wrong with that part of my body? I don't know. Inject the shit. And
I also have the fortunate thing that anytime I've ever gotten an injection for anything or a blood test, whatever, it's always cute nurses.
Oh, there you go.
It always helps.
There you go.
You don't even, like, let's say you don't have anybody cute, guys or girls, hire a model that comes out of a room and just looks at you while you do it
so
and
that
just
you're,
calms
yeah,
you down.
You're so distracted that you don't pass out.
Like, you have Ryan Gosling come out and look at me and say everything's going to be okay. And I'm like, maybe it will.
You get in like, oh, they're maybe drawing your blood, but then they just have to look at your nosebleed and like, oh, we got all the blood we need.
Exactly. That's pretty funny. Aside from that, I watched the first episode of China proudly presents KOF Destiny.
Did you? Because that was on the that's on the docket, but you can go ahead and just scratch
I watched the first episode, but two episodes are out. We talked about this when it was initially revealed, and there was like a logo. There was Kyo doing a special move, and that was about it. And I watched the first episode, and it's not great at all.
So all I saw was Thomas retweeting that picture of Geese confronting Jeff, and it's like, why is Geese wearing his new uniform and not old Geese uniform?
So why are
you flaunting the scrolls in front of him?
Like, I wrote a tweet that says KOF Destiny makes KOF 14 look like KOF 13.
Yeah,
and that's visually. Like, visually, it's always terrible. All the characters look like they're from Unimaro 3D hentai animations. They just look a little, everyone looks off model. No one looks right.
Well, that screenshot in particular was pretty rough
on
the nose.
Visually, it looks bad, but it's like, you know what? At the end of the day, KOF 14 still looks a little rough. Guess what? That's still a really good fighting game with lots of content, lots to delve into. This is not that. It looks bad, and it is bad because if anyone's seen the old Fatal Fury OVA, like the first one, or watched the intro to Real Bout, Wild Ambition.
Okay.
The CG one.
The CG clip is Wild Ambition, yes.
Jeff is always shown with Terry and Andy, and they're on the streets of Southtown walking around just like, hey, everyone, what's up? Yo, Mr. Baker, yo. Hey, Jeff, we love you, Jeff.
Biting into lettuce.
And this is like, Jeff is like a woodsman. He's wearing like a flannel, like he looks like a lumberjack. And it's Terry's 14th birthday, and he's giving Terry his first red hat as a birthday gift. And Terry's like, how did you know? And then he's like, he elbows Andy, and Andy looks nothing like Andy. And he elbows Andy and goes, I don't know. Someone told me. And then the door just dramatically burst open. And yeah, old geese shows up.
Yeah. I'm okay with Jeff Bogart as long as he looks like old school America. So if that becomes slightly lumberjacky, if that becomes more trucker, or just even slightly farmery, I'm on board with it, because Jeff is like, he's a character that's not super well defined.
Fair enough. But that's like the minor thing. The thing is that they have a fight, and Jeff and Geese have their knockdown dragout brawl in a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
Where there's people fucking mowing their lawns and there's kids playing stickball, and of the coolness of Jeff gets sucked out. Yeah, all of the coolness of Southtown gets sucked out, because Southtown is not.
They're in the suburbs.
You don't fucking move to the suburbs. There's no suburbs in Southtown. That's like saying it's in Metro City. Like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. So, guess what? Also, if you thought it was going to be great, no, the fighting is also terrible in this show. Like, everyone jumps 80 feet into the air, start doing crazy air combos, gigantic, stupid hit sparks. Like, that's fine.
I also saw crack shoots unsafe on block. He should punish it.
it was not great. So that's just the first episode. All the stuff with Kyo and like Team Japan is just lame and slapstick and just goofy.
Damn.
Everyone's fucking goofy. Kyo is goofy, you know? And I'm just like, what was the point of this thing? Like, I pine for another day. And that's sad when you pine for another day, a thing where just, literally nothing happens.
That's just toast, you know? Yeah. Unbuttered toast. Well, it was fine, but it didn't do much. I guess I just don't think...
This thing's going to be 24 episodes long.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's insane. I didn't realize...
And they're free.
I didn't realize it was a half an hour episode?
No. Okay. It had the actual anime running time of 22 minutes.
Yeah.
But... 7 of those remaining minutes were credits, were ads for other things.
Okay.
The
production filler.
It was like the actual episode might have been like 16 minutes or something.
Because I just don't think anyone over at SNK right now has those like storyline chops, I think, to really direct a full show. And then that means they're getting someone else on board to do it. And... that's so weird. I feel like you have to hand it over to someone like experienced.
Has experience with like narrative, like a 24 episode narrative. Like, I don't know who's making it, but like it's the animation is produced in China.
But also fighting game storyline, you're going to be struggling the whole time anyway.
What's weird is that it seems to be some pseudo reboot. Like, yeah. It's the first King of Fighters that, yeah, it's actually a reboot of King of Fighters 1 where it transitions from Fatal Fury being King of Fighters to the 3-person team format, because the invite that they get, they're like, this is the first year they're allowing a team of 3. Mm. And then, Kyo's dad is just like, oh yeah, we'll fucking rock that shit. Then Kyo's mom just comes in and says, no, you don't. I'm a Japanese housewife. And he's like, oh, and then Betty Maro just steps in and he's like, ah, and then they go off, and then that's
so
it.
So size U is around.
Yeah, size is around for the first 2 minutes.
You know, I guess I take back what I just said, because it's like you can hire somebody, and you can probably, I bet you the director of this is probably someone that's like,
maybe,
has a couple of random anime credits behind their belt. But the actual way to save it / make a good thing here would be to find an Udon equivalent. Find Udon. You know what I mean?
Like,
because like at the end of the day, right, for the issues that Udon Comics did have, they were the most coherent versions of those stories.
You would have to have the thing primarily produced in Japan and like give it to some other studio to like just translate it, but like, is there anything that makes no sense?
They'd have to display a willingness to work with a non-Japanese company already.
Why would they do that?
Right?
This is fine,
of course. It's just like, you know, if other companies have taken notice of like, you know, that their work in any way like what they did with Street Fighter, then they'd notice that like, hey, that turned out all right. And the coolest thing I think was, you know, when you go to Udon's like stuff where it's like, this is not even mainline, we're doing side story books here.
Yeah.
Like, okay, admittedly, Legend of Chun-Li wasn't super great, But
Legend of Sakura was good.
Legend of Sakura was fine,
and
right?
Then the
Akuma Origins was awesome. Great.
And then they're coming out soon with the Kami Legends.
Exactly. So like as the Chun-Li book, it wasn't awful, but it was just
It was the first one.
There was just not much going on with it. But it got so much better after that, and it shows you that like their little side stories that are like, you know, off the main one, which is the convoluted tournament plot, are very coherent. And they added original unique characters and the implied version of Ryu's father.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and things
yeah.
like that. And that all really like ended up being good. So like I have faith in them to come up with a decent storyline for
I wish Capcom would actually ask Udon to like write a little Street Fighter animated project, like a 6-episode thingy, instead of like blessing that live action thing that was on Machinima years ago, which was okay for what it was, but it's not what I wanted.
I still think we're a long way from ever getting to Udon officially working on the games in any way. I think that's
well, they
like,
did in terms of like making some endings here and there for like Capcom Fighting Jam and shit. Like,
right, yeah, that's true.
That.
You're right. They did
but
do
that's,
those.
That's,
they did.
That's as far as it went.
Yeah. But I guess like the idea that like they're doing.
What am I talking about? They did HD Remix. They did all of the art.
All the art. But what I mean is like writing.
Story.
Yeah. You know, because like I said, they're making more sense than a lot of the current official stuff is, you know, and like. There's, like I said, there's problems you're going to run into no matter what your tournament battle rotation fight story is.
Yeah, like currently what's happened in Street Fighter comics, it's Street Fighter, it's new generation is happening right now.
Okay.
In Street Fighter Unlimited, it's their fighting Gil. Gil's invited everyone for a big tournament. He has big plans with Alex. That's like what's currently going on in Street Fighter Unlimited. I think we're actually a few issues ahead of that. But that's where it is. So like Street Fighter 2 is done in Udon Comics. Like it's super done. What's confusing is that they already did 4.
Yeah,
before 3.
Well, because they had to catch up with the game release.
Exactly.
You know? And so every time something new, a new product was coming out, they'd be like, let's jump forward to this point.
Because they didn't want to jump to 5, and then like 3 is the only story that they don't tell. So I'm sure in the future, 5 will still be like, you know, relevant, and they'll do a comic for that.
The fact that 5 ties itself to 3 allows them to finally explore that.
Maybe that's why they did it that way.
So does KOF actually start, does it all begin in 94?
I guess it must.
Because, I mean...
If this is where they go, hey, this is the first KOF they allow
Rugal?
3 people.
Is it?
Oh, haven't... The first episode does not even show who...
Are there invitations?
Yes, everyone's getting fancy invites, but it has not shown who's giving them.
Okay.
No idea who the big bad is here.
Okay. What kind of shirt is Betty Maru wearing? That's how we can
He's
tell.
He's wearing the black.
It's always black.
Black shirt with no sleeves and has one nipple slit in the middle, like a slash.
Okay. Because that
tells you what.
Yeah, because if Betty Mara's got like the bra strap going over one
no
side.
Bra strap, no,
okay.
No,
all right.
No. I'm pretty sure.
Fair enough.
But like I said, it's like some characters just look different. Like Terry has a different costume on.
Okay.
Like
Fatal Fury 1?
He looks more like Fatal Fury 1
Terry. Long sleeve red jacket?
Like white sleeves down to like his elbows, and then the red jacket starts. So he looks like Fatal Fury 1 Terry, but this is KOF 94.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So it looks off. I don't know. I don't like it. Aside from that, I watched Resident Evil Vendetta, which is the new CG movie. Again, a lot of CG video game stuff. I'm not going to go too into it, but it's pretty good.
That's the one people are saying are all right.
That's the latest one that just came out that has Leon, Chris, and Rebecca Chambers. And I liked it. I liked it the best out of all of the CG movies. It's not that deep of a thing. It's a very simple plot. A really bad Wesker stand-in that's just kind of there, but really good action. I enjoyed it for what it was.
I'll take those infinitely over the live-action movies, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, the first two CG movies, I think they're just as not just as bad
as the Paul Anderson's.
Yeah,
I saw the airport one, and
the airport one's not good, and the second one, Damnation, is not good, but it's like it has Leon in it though. But the actual core movie is like really boring after a certain point, like when you watch it and you're like, okay, this is pretty good, and then when it actually starts trying to tell its story, it goes on way too long. This one, Vendetta, is really good because it's very simple, bad guy fucking kidnaps Rebecca. That's it. Save her.
Yeah.
You know, so it was hard to fuck up. And I don't think they did. Really quickly, I also played Dusk. Dusk is the new Quake style, like Quake slash Heretic, Hexen slash Doom thing that we played at PAX East. And its first episode has 33 levels and multiplayer, I believe. I got a code first for episode. It early. Yeah, it's in shareware style episodes. Oh. We'll play episode one and has 33 levels.
Okay.
Right?
That's a weird one.
Well, no, because it's like old shareware.
I guess that's
it's weird
that's,
now.
That's the marketing
sure.
Approach.
We did a video for that when it was kind of like in an alpha or something or a beta last year. But now like it's coming out tomorrow, I think, on Steam. So I got a few levels into that. I was having fun with that. Redeemer also came out on Steam. I also played that at PAX East, and I really liked it. That's that overhead brawler
yes,
thing where that monk.
Yes, Redeemer. Yeah.
Redeemer Violence Awakened.
This again, we're going to need to eventually have some way of sorting through all these titles, these Devolver-style titles.
Yeah, yeah.
Of Absolver, Devolver, Redeemer,
Ruiner. Yeah.
And I think there was at least one more.
I think there's at least one more. So Redeemer is pretty fun. It's a little repetitive, but I'm playing through it. And the last sort of thing, as I told you, but anyone that's like in the area, the last couple of days I was still in Toronto after we went to go Con Bravo. Please look up Pravda, P-R-A-V-D-A. It is a Russian vodka bar, like. Mm-hmm. And it was the best time ever. It was for Leanna's birthday, but we just wanted to go, like, just her and I. And it looks like a hybrid of all of Zangief's stages throughout Street Fighter
throughout
history.
Okay.
It has big statues of Lenin. It has the sickle and hammer everywhere. It looks
dancing
like
bears.
No dancing bears, but like girls in red cocktail dresses giving, like saying, here's our collection of vodkas. This is from this region. It's very, okay. Very smooth. And some of it was like, these vodka shots were just straight vodka. And I can do for like the first second it hits your mouth and then it goes down your throat and I'm like, yeah, that's smooth.
I'm gonna take a look at some pictures here to see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But
and some of the best food I've ever eaten where they're like, all right, well, we have a collection of Polish sausages, and I'm like, ooh. Yeah, let me see your Polish sausages, please. Like, let me, because my dad has bought Polish sausages ever since I was a kid from various like Polish meateries, mm-hmm. And I have a distinct, like, oh, I like that, or I hate that, or that's terrible, or that's bad, or that's not authentic, and they gave me, like, the best sausage.
Yeah.
They had some amazing cocktails, like clear chocolate vodka.
Don't react to this. Keep talking, but I'm okay. I'm going to take a look at these pictures up here.
With, a salty chocolate really cool. Rim on it. There's an apple vodka. It was amazing. It was really good service. And it just looked like you're in like an old timey theater with big red drapes and everything. It was so, so fun. So,
dude, you're not kidding.
If someone is in Toronto and looking for something to do, I highly, highly recommend going to Pravda. Pravda. Most restaurants I don't even have like, yeah, whatever. It was good. But I'm like, just go here if you want a good time. And I got like that perfect level of drunk.
Okay.
Where I was just like, yeah. But that's it.
Okay.
You know, it was great, great time. So yeah, that was busy. I got drunk. I have a bionic knee.
Das Vidania.
And KO off Destiny is bad.
All right. We can work with that.
I also got an incredible early birthday gift from one Wooly Wools, which is the Connecticut fucking Dante human. Sorry, Dante human slash Devil Trigger statue. That's the official name. I love putting that thing together.
That's a piece of work, man.
That was art, and you have. Virgil too, and yes. I was like, this box is so huge. Was it these sex straps that everything's locked in, these black velcro like
BDSM straps?
Yeah. I'm like, velcro, there's straps. God, that thing, that was the most high quality packaging I've ever, like, that will never fucking break in there.
So here's what happened.
It
used to break in there, And this is their they improved their packaging drastically.
You read about this somewhere?
Yeah, well, I got emails because it was their first round of Virgils went out, and a couple people got some with a crack on them, and they're like, "What the fuck?"
Jeez.
Because of the fucking money, you know? And they're like, "Oh shit, okay, stop, everything, I'll pull it up."
So there's like a delay,
and they pulled it back. They delayed it a bit to improve the packaging. And they did drastically with those extra straps and everything and the massive styrofoam.
Yeah.
And then they resent them out to everybody. So, that was their improvement off of an initial run that unfortunately did have some cracks.
Because I was impressed with it. The only thing that came close is a Metal Gear Rex that was in gigantic style. But that was a pain in the ass to put together. I like these new statue things where it's just like a giant peg in someone's torso.
Yeah.
And just slot everything in and it's
stuck.
Fast
and it's
and
done.
It's stuck. And I'm not sure if there's like magnet technology in there, but sometimes they do.
There is. There's
okay,
magnets.
Good. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
100%.
Awesome. I love that shit.
So it keeps it in place. And the fucking base of the thing is so heavy.
Yeah, they're like crumbling bits of the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
the heaviest
part. You're pulling a brick out of the box. It was dude, when I pulled it, I put those things on my dinner table area just to prepare them to put them up on the shelves.
Prepare them.
And like they left behind like traces of like rubber and like they stained the table. Is that, you know what I mean? Like it felt like a craftsman's tool.
You put the box on your table, then you like take it off your table after an hour, you're like, "Oh, it made an indentation in the wood."
Yeah. So no.
One thing I have to say, bad smell.
Sure.
Don't like the smell.
Okay.
Usually I pop open a figure, I love the smell of like vinyl or the type of plastic to use, but this statue, stinky statue.
Oh, well,
but it wafted away after a little bit.
Well, there's only 250 of them, so it's a very limited problem.
Very stinky, limited edition statue.
But no, it's currently my favorite thing that I have. And
it should be.
That's a centerpiece and a half.
Like, push your girlfriend out of the way. Get out of the way, you!
Connecticut's not fucking around,
they
dude.
They are not.
And then they got that jury coming and all that other stuff. Like
that jury, I'm not a fan of her face.
So they're doing the Street Fighter realistic figures. I guess I think it's Legacy, or I forget what the line
There's
is called.
There's a subtitle, yeah.
Excuse me. But I remember they had the initial like hyper-realistic Vega and Sagat, right?
Yeah, I think it was them, maybe.
So, yeah, they're getting into those.
Her pose is awesome, but like, yeah. The face
it's classic jury, though. So for everyone that prefers that outfit. Anyway, that you?
That me.
Okay.
That me.
So over on my side, I guess it's ongoing, right? But Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
That thing's going places.
It's going places.
Holy fuck, they're speeding up the plot on that.
People are teleporting across Westeros now.
Yeah, so you know, obviously spoiler-free discussion here.
Yeah,
but
when the season's over, we'll.
But the fact that, like, I feel like there's, like, last week felt like two episodes in one. This week felt like three episodes in one.
A lot of shit happened.
Just because of how much teleporting is going on.
Yeah.
Exactly. We've now unlocked fast travel.
Yeah.
Right? The Game of Thrones as a show has unlocked
if
fast
Jamie
travel.
If Jamie has been to a place before, he can get there like
and,
that.
And that's it, right? And we're now like, it's like, okay, the journey from point A to point B, we're no longer spending any time on the journey. We're just getting to the meat. And it's fucking awesome. I really like that.
It's kind of like they have less characters or more characters have congealed into certain groups. So when you say, character A has to go to point B, they have less to cut back to.
Yes.
So they almost just like, fuck it. Just they're there now.
Well, converging storylines and converging timelines like makes it so that it simplifies how many places the camera has to go. And I feel like from the start of the show where you jumped around to God knows how many characters.
A lot.
Right? I feel like.
And then it felt like the story would it would move slowly.
Yeah. And obviously like with any good like Super Robot Wars kind of tale, you're gonna have the camera cutting back to two people. It's gonna come down to good and evil, that's all your camera's gonna be doing.
Two groups,
right? Exactly. So we're simplifying and paring it all down. And I'm excited for all that stuff. And then of course there's the little subtle things that are dropped, like little hints that you know, as with everything, they drop like backstory things that don't mean much in the present. But if you've been following the lore, you go, holy fuck.
I know
fuck.
What you're talking about.
And there's that one moment where they're reading through a scroll.
Yep.
And you go,
it's potentially the most important bit of information ever. And everyone's, but it's not important to anyone in that room.
Like, so sandbagged harder than anything ever has been sandbagged.
Yeah.
One of the most important plot details mentioned in a cough.
Yeah.
You know, so it's
it was fun.
It's fun that's how it treats really important things. And then and just kind of plays it off. So God bless. That's a show.
God bless.
That's a show.
I hope this show will be successful.
Yes. I think it can
go
places.
What an upstart of a show.
Yeah, you know.
Out of nowhere, this season 7.
These roustabouts coming about.
Roustabouts.
Right? Filming renegade
these
style.
Ragamuffins.
Who knows where they're going to go, but I'm going to keep an eye on these
kids. I hope the fortunes of this HBO start to get good for them. But success.
Everyone lend Game of Thrones your support.
Yeah.
They could really use it right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to mention the inclusion of a main character becoming a ninja. That's always fun. I like that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Fucking Hayabusa Stark. But anyway, so I watched that. I watched the first episode of the
KOF Destiny.
Of the much acclaimed American Gods.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got 2 episodes in and I couldn't find any more episodes.
Gotcha.
Right?
Your wife was right. You can't bumble your way into anything, can you?
No, I can't.
That's fine.
I got to wait for it to be released somewhere.
Okay. Well, American Gods is Neil Gaiman's...
Is it a comic or is it a graphic novel?
It's a book.
It's a book.
Right? Neil Gaiman's book is you know, it's a series that he had that was written and whatever. And then this has been adapted by someone important. I forget who.
I believe it's the guy that worked on the Hannibal TV show.
Right. Think. Okay. So there's that, right? Yeah, anyway. And so I started this out. And without having... You know that like thing where you're like, I just want to go in cold and get no information? That, so far, just on the pilot at least, is probably the worst thing you can do for this show. Because I'm so lost super hard right now just off that first episode. And if I didn't have a friend basically when they were pitching it to me set up the premise of it's a show about – old gods versus new gods, and these are concept people, you know.
It's a new god, the god of the internet
in America, right?
Like, yeah,
and I'm like, okay, just hearing that gave me some context because the show, like Preacher, starts out with doesn't want to explain anything.
No,
and I get that. That's usually fine. But usually by the end of like the first episode, you drop a little thing to go like, oh, fuck, you know, like Westworld or like even Black Mirror. There's a little bit of a like, okay, let's keep clicking, see where this is going a little bit. And here I was just like, you introduced a whole lot of people. You didn't tell me who any of them were. And then a whole lot of weird things happened. And I have no idea why.
And
only one or two names were ever exchanged of the 7 or so characters that got introduced.
It was a lot like that for me watching what's the X-Men show that I talked about. I watched
Legion.
Legion is like that, where it was just like, here's a lot of crazy shit and we're not going to explain it. Preacher got to where it needed to go by like half of the season. I'm like, okay, I understand where everything, because it was all out of order, whatever. American Gods, I kind of read up about it. I watched some trailers. I looked at vignettes of like, here is this god.
Yeah.
Right? So that helped me out. But like, I can see where you're
cold
coming from.
Is really rough here. And it feels like most of the people that I know that like are way, way, way in are all going like, yeah, I read the book and now I'm really excited watching the events unfold in the show. You know, like that's what it is. So when you have that kind of context, you don't have to worry about like – you know, what the fuck is everything?
Well, it's like when people would read people have read Game of Thrones novels for decades.
Of course.
Before the show came out. And we still had, like, you know, you had to climatize to, all right, we're in this country. There's that group. There's that group.
It takes,
like,
a minute for you to get everyone's names down.
Yeah.
But
so that's about it. Yeah. American Gods is a little bit more. It's like Virtua Fighter. Well, it takes you a little bit more work.
They take a little bit more work. And again, I'm just going on the pilot. They don't want to hold your hand in any way or give you any context yet, you know? So I hope I eventually do get that context, because usually that's what, like, grabs you and holds on to you, right? Mm. What I will say so far is that the little mini, like, events that happened to all these characters in that first episode were, like, weird and interesting. There was some fun, weird stuff that occurred, and, you know, a bunch of, like, funny one-liners. Swinger from Deadwood.
Yeah, Ian McShane.
Ian McShane is like,
or better known as the dad from Hot Rod.
Oh God, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he's
holy
the dad
fuck,
from Hot Rod.
I didn't connect those dots. That that dude is a real actor. He is a thespian.
Yes, that guy is.
And
he had that small role in Game of Thrones last season. He was like that guy that the Hound kind of shacked up.
Oh,
with.
right.
The little
mayor. Yeah. Of the little town. He did. And you know when he shows up, that he's not playing a bit role.
No.
Although I always mistake him for Alfred Molina, because they have similar faces.
Yeah, you're right. Especially Alfred Molina now, he's a bit older.
But Ian McShane is dope. I fucking love him, and I love. I will follow him through his work. Exactly. yeah, definitely gonna keep watching, but hoping for a little bit more.
By the second episode, yeah, like I was like, oh, okay.
A little bit of hip guiding?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, it's got to eventually. Because, like, the shows kind of do that now, where they're like, just off the top of my head, I'm trying to think of some right now. But, like, yeah, Preacher was one that they take a while to, and it seems more like nowadays, like, I'll see people on Twitter saying, I don't really like this show. Like, how far did you get? Like, this two episodes. And it's like, if you have watched that entire show or, like, have gotten really into it, it's like, the Marvel Netflix show is like, try to blast your ass out on the first episode to get you hooked.
Yeah.
And there is that style of TV show, but I don't think you can have all of them be like that. Some have to be like, or some just to try to be different. Like, they go, all right, here's some characters and they want to intrigue you into it rather than, like, you know.
And the people involved on this project are all, like, of such high acclaim that I'm like, I'm expecting, you know, good things here. Like, people are not taught, like, there's multiple recommendations, like, dude, fucking get on that American Gods, you know? Yeah. So, I'm definitely going to keep going and see how that goes. Beyond those two things, I have finished Persona 5.
Finished?
Yes. I want to say 137 hours.
No, that's more or less than when you finished 4.
That is...
I think it's around the same.
No, okay. I remember, P3 was 127.
Yeah, I remember you talking about
I forget what it was for 4. I forget what my save was on 4 completely. Okay. But so I'm done. I just need to go back and, like, I guess.
Clean up.
Well, I'm not going to do the new game plus. I'm just going to YouTube the social links
that I haven't completed.
Exactly. I guess, you know, once Pat's done, we'll have our big proper spoiler cast and stuff. But what I can say is that
how about favorite persona? Not favorite, like, where is it?
Oh man. Well,
this seems to be a loaded question.
Okay. Yeah, the favorite persona. I mean,
game.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I thought you meant demon.
No.
I was fuck, dude, there's a lot of them.
No.
And
I meant,
right yeah, now, I meant my pick game. Is going to Choginga Gurren Lagann.
Sure.
So,
of the games.
Yeah. So here's the thing is they all have different strengths.
Yeah.
Right? And I think, and Arsene is such a good fucking design. Holy fuck, what a good design. Anyway, no, they all have different strengths. And I think that this game has the absolute best, like,
style.
Middle of the game, like, plot and reveal and moment to moment story and adventure, right? Yeah. Like your journey through the start, through your journey from the start through the middle of the game is absolutely the absolute best that of the three that I've played.
All right.
I feel like the culprit in four is still the better. Best. Still yeah. the best as far as like, you know, your that's your bad guy goes, right? I still think that's a better character. I love so much about what that character represents. And
I don't know a whole bunch, but if I like was to glean anything from a bunch of friends I've also been in Persona 5, they're like, I was a little cooler on the cast overall, like the cast of characters from 5 over 4.
I love this cast. I really like this cast a lot. I feel that like I don't even want to start like ranking them.
Yeah.
Because I like them all as characters, and I feel that they benefited from the modern game having, you know, better writing, more tech to show off their emotions and expressions.
Right.
You know, like they benefit from time, showing them off
from
their
technology.
Exactly. And showing them off in a better light than, you know, say the P3 characters
that's fair.
You know,
to say.
Back on an older console. So, to get what I was getting at is that I think, yeah, the three games, like, all have, like, a standout feature. And I think P5 has the best, like, main story. I think P4 has the best villain. And I think P3 has the best finale.
Is there anything in P5 that you felt was just, like, actually stood out as maybe weaker? Like, or is it all just, like, everything was just fine, and then the other games just had something better? Like, you just said the villain.
No, so the villain in P5 is excellent.
Okay.
But the villain in P4 is perfection.
Okay. All right.
You know what I mean? Like, that, like, it's so good. It's very hard to top that. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so, they didn't. But there's some really good stuff in there. Some odd but unexpected major heavy references to Death Note throughout this story. Yeah.
Well, way to strike while the iron is hot.
It's interesting, like, it feels like not a reference like in the sense of like hey guys look, but it's more like a like this is a send up to this type of character.
Okay,
you know, in the way that Q is like a send up to. You know, your old robo detective.
That cliche
from like the fucking 70s,
right?
And, you know, and your Kikaider style faces.
Okay.
Like
so,
you have.
So it's not like hey Death Note, hey that's.
It's just
hot.
Like no, it's just like here's a reference to this character that existed once upon a time.
Fair enough.
Benny Maru is a reference to Polnareff, right? Yeah, so yes. That's what it is. Anyway, so I think that's you know one of the things going on there, and then the final like you know the final escalation up to your credits is I think the weakest of the three.
Okay.
Because it's and the problem here is not that it's like not dramatic and not that it's not done in a really cool way. It's done in a fucking a very cool way. But the first time it happened in P3. You didn't expect it at all, right? I didn't expect it at all, I should say.
So it's almost like by the fifth game, it's how do we top?
You're kind of doing the same thing.
It's also like how Liam is like, man, the ending of Bayonetta 2, the lead up and the final boss is like a 9. Unfortunately, Bayonetta's 1 was like a 12.
Right. Yeah. When you didn't know what you were getting into, it fucking rocks you.
Right.
And that I'll always feel that way about the end of P3,
okay.
You know? The way it's the first time you get to experience this, like, well, for me, the first time I got to experience this, like, insane god battle where just dude is just like
getting wiped
monologuing
out.
At you as you're going on. And I mean, with the exception of like Digital Devil Saga, cause that goes into some fucking crazy places.
Yeah, I've heard.
With the Brahmin. But, this though is, it's only hurt slightly by the fact that you see it coming because you're like, this is the way Persona games end.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, that's fair.
Like, it is cool though because early on in like the Persona 5 advertising and, you know, like
marketing
and such, there were some themes and concepts and stuff that they introduced that you kind of like – we're like, that's weird, and I don't know what the fuck that's about, but okay. Mm-hmm. And then you go through this game, and you kind of just get used to the whole Phantom Thieves and, like, sneaking around and being a cool, suave, debonair,
you know, thief guy.
That also, that stuff, like when I saw that, that reminded me of like old animes, like 70, 80s, like reminds me of Lupin.
Yeah. You know? Well, like, so that's what's super cool is that one, your main character's persona is Arsène Lupin.
Okay.
That's what that's literally who your stand is.
That's a pretty big reference.
Okay. Two, you're a phantom thief.
Right.
And in P4, there is the Detective Prince, the ace. Detective Prince is like a character that is like the Detective Conan style.
Okay, yeah.
Young, solves everything, genius, 2000 IQ, right, you know. Right. Which is a number that doesn't even make sense, but that's what they used, you know, and they were always like, chasing after the Phantom Thief.
Yeah.
You know, so this
that
is the
bastard.
Game. And it would just be a name that they just throw out there as like the counterfoil. You have your Sherlock Holmes and your Arsène Lupin.
Right,
and in this case,
right.
It's like, you're now stepping into that role, you know? So it's really fun in that, when that way it references something that you kind of read about a little bit earlier. And, yeah, I guess it just, you know, it ends up going, somewhere where you're like, this is still really cool, but we've done it.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, art, music, direction,
right.
S-Links,
style,
aesthetics.
Yes.
Like, actual best in a video game.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I hate hyperbole, but there's nothing.
But we also use it. Tons.
And I don't give a fuck. Right now, there's nothing that holds a goddamn candle to the menu's presentation and music and sound and just feel of Persona 5.
I don't know. The universe hero?
Uh-huh.
No. Sango Fighter Chaos Generation?
Hey, man. They're coming close, those
Clay
guys.
Fighter? No.
They're coming close.
They're coming
but
close.
I'll tell you what. Like, the sounds you make,
I know your sounds. I would know the sounds.
Yeah,
you
as you experience these new menus, right? And as it does all the things we like. What do we like? We like when we hear the leitmotif. We like when we hear the music and it's a cool theme and it's a cool song. And then something happens and it gets slightly remixed.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happens and it gets slightly remixed again. And then when things pull up to their final confrontation, what do we get? We get the lyrics.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're just going and you're bobbing with the Shogi Meguro like tunes the entire time.
I mean, it goes to like, all like, even when we did Catherine, it was like, I think the first thing he said, I was like, man, what a great main menu. Like, it doesn't come up that much when you're actually playing the game, but like in the main menu of Catherine and just going around the options or whatever, like that part, like, you can see that this is their strength.
Exactly.
Persona team.
No, absolutely. And so whenever they decide to, I guess the only, this is my only thing here is that like they do excellent work with the leitmotif in this game, right? Mm-hmm. Like they really have some cool like callbacks to the same songs and things like that. But like, part of what made, for example, P4's like finale incredible was the ultimate version of that. The ultimate callback being like something that you heard earlier on in the game. So anyway, I'll get into the details once Pat gets back, you know. But
you appreciate a bit more.
Yeah, but holy fuck, man. What a good video game. Also,
okay, well, yeah, finish your
you
point.
You just – you can't – I'm never – like they're never going to make these games in a way that – unless you're skipping text and just blasting through it, not reading and not really, you know, enjoying yourself, or at the very least, like ignoring content on purpose,
yeah,
you're not getting out of here in under 110 hours.
Right, right.
You know?
If you do the base amount, but enough to, like, it's not like a speed run, but it's like you have to look at least the main thing of the main bit of storyline. You're saying like it has to be at least 110.
At least 110, because my way of playing through the last two games was by I talk to everybody and I want to follow the
exhaustive dialogue.
Exactly, right? And so like and sometimes there's little characters throughout town that have ongoing storylines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's a cool guy in this game that like he only works at night outside this club, and it's like this the only black guy in the entire video game. And he works outside a club and you go talk to him and he's trying to learn Japanese, and the entire time he's kind of like, I'm I'm having some trouble, but come inside, you know? And then like random, like drunken, salaryman would be like, ah, what the fuck are you doing? You know, your Japanese sucks. You're making fun of us, you know, whatever.
No.
And then, like, he gets better and better at it. And
as the game goes on.
Yeah, and but he's just, it's just a random NPC that you can ignore, you know? And so the game has bunches of little things like that where, like, this is a person standing in this spot at this time. And you can always go find out what they're up to. And as the seasons change, their little plot progresses.
Yeah.
You know? So in this game, because there was, like, so much of that, I realized this is overwhelming. I will never be able to do it like I did in the last games.
Right, right.
So I just went for the couple that I liked, you know, hung around a few random people, and then did the main things by exhausting two activities.
So just
every
give
day.
Everyone the once over. Who's going to interest me? Are you going to just
you
me
cool?
Come over
yeah,
here?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you and me. I'm going to check you out until the rest of the game.
Exactly.
You, not so much.
Yeah, you go back to you right, go down the right. street, and there's these two like pickup artists, like losers that are just talking about how to get girls.
Okay.
And they're super lame, and I'm just like, I have nothing interesting to get from you.
Yeah, okay,
you know.
Okay.
So you check in every once in a while, and then you just get one of those things where towards the end, like the master's been teaching the student how to pick up girls.
Okay.
You know. And he's like, you gotta do this. You gotta use these words and whatnot. And then at the end, it's like, I've never actually picked up a girl, even though I'm the master. And then, and the student is like, really? Because I've been using your techniques and getting results. And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm a fraud. You know, like,
wow.
You get like little weird things like that. But like, you
never.
Know,
like one day I hope to see a woman. Like what? I just whenever I walk down alleys, they're not out.
Yeah, like
if I walk in the streets, they're just not there.
You know, and the funny. Yeah, and so you get that type of stuff going on. You know, if you want to get into those details, and these are all, of course, like again NPC plot, like completely ridiculously optional, super missable. You know, and there's tons of them. So that's not that much of a spoiler. Don't worry about that.
So really quickly, I wanted to ask before I forget this: what is now that this is done? What is the next, like, all right, put time into this now game, because so much came out.
It has to be Automata.
Yeah, for me too.
It has to be.
Because I asked on Twitter a few days ago, I was like, hey, I really want to play like an open world thing, kind of, but I don't want a huge time sink. And I was like, should I play Infamous Second Son or Infamous First Light? Which is much like Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry.
Yeah.
It is a small chunk of that game.
With the paper
and
girl.
With the cool girl that has like light speed and shit. And I played that for like an hour. I was like, oh shit, I actually really like this. And people are saying it's like 6-7 hours. Like, oh man, I want to get on that. So like once I've done that, because that's small, then I want to, jump into Nier Automata finally.
Yeah. I might take a weekend and just like rush to the end of FF15 because
you never know.
I didn't finish it. I stopped right dead in the cold in the middle because I was doing a lot. I was doing all the side missions.
Yeah.
Right. And I was doing them because I was like, I was having fun doing the little hunts. But like, it got to a point where I was like, other things came out and I got distracted. Breath of the Wild, I think, is what broke me off of FF15.
I think it would.
And I just never went back in. So just to get it off my plate, I might just sit down one weekend and blast through that. The next thing on the plate is it's got to be a Nier, and I'm already like
because it saved platinum.
Yes, it did, and I'm already going through the LP to catch up on the old game.
Right.
So,
I forgot you were doing that.
So yeah, I guess that's me, and we'll hear more about Persona in the weeks to come.
Weeks and months to come.
Yeah, and you know. If I haven't already said it till I'm blue in the face, it's all about Makoto. It's all about Makoto. That's the choice. That's who I went with. I did not cheat. I did not do any sort of infidelity. I kept my dirty Japanese penis to myself. And my favorite confidant line was Becky. I think Becky's confidant line is the absolute best in the entire franchise.
I like how confidant is the word to use for when you're like these group of like mischievous thieves. Like the correct term, like not friend, not like it's your confidant, because it's a stylish sort of noirish word for that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's fun.
huge props to this game for the way there's a character, Futaba. I'd give her like second easy because there's a character that's like the tech girl that kind of
everyone cosplays.
Your stats exactly and whatnot. And in game, she's an actual Hikokimori. She's a shut-in that doesn't leave her room,
right.
Which is a real thing in Japan, right?
It's the realest thing.
And you have a character that is going through that for amazingly real and good reasons, and they work. Not amazingly good and real reasons. Amazingly well integrated into the plot reasons.
Okay.
And like, it's not just for dumb purposes where, like, when you first hear about that, you go, are they just inserting that because they just want to put this type of character in there? And it's like, no. They did a fantastic job with her and her personality. And
it's
like,
not just there to be there.
Yeah. And so her confidant line, her S-links, as you would, are teaching her to leave at the house and be social.
Like,
and
bit by bit.
Yeah. And it's a super cool, real feeling, like, yeah, this is something people go through, man, you know? And it addresses it in a really good way. And I absolutely think that they did a fantastic job with that character. Okay. So fun stuff there. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, whatever. I'm sure there'll be other questions for favorites and things like that later on.
There you go.
We'll get to it. All right. With that,
what do you have for me?
Well, we're going to get into the news, but before we do, we should take a word from our sponsor.
Okay, so we can barely say the word anymore.
Sponsor. This week
is brought to you by Yoji Shinakawa Cross Godzilla Cross.
You can
Eva.
Pimp it. I was waiting. You can pimp that out. Matt's got his awesome.
Put it in your camera.
Yeah, Matt's got his awesome Yoji Shinakawa designed. A Godzilla, Mecha Godzilla.
Eva unit.
And it really looks like an Eva unit, but it more so looks like Jehuti. Like, the head is a Jehuti head.
It looks like Rex and Ray mixed.
Take a look at it. What's it called online to Google it?
Nerve, NERV. It's just Nerve, special G weapon cross Eva. Like, it's got this crazy long ass name.
Okay.
But Nerve Yoji Shinkawa would be enough.
It's fucking sick.
NERV.
It's a really good design. And, you know,
I was swearing earlier before we started the podcast because I was like, well, they also showed off a black and silver variant.
Yeah.
That looks like it's from Desperado of Metal Gear Rising. Like, fuck you. I got it now. Great.
I mean, or look, I've said it, you know, a couple of times, but like, my favorite mecha designs of all are Orbital Frames and like, this looks like one of those.
So I'll say a bold statement. This is now my favorite mecha design of anything ever.
Oh.
Like Gurren Lagann, nope.
Okay.
Just this.
That
I really wish this would appear in something.
Because Yoji Shinkawa,
this is still just the, hey everyone, jerk off to Eva and Godzilla marketing campaign.
Yeah.
That has no basis in reality.
You know why though? Like the Zone of the Enders mechas, like the Yoji Shinkawa mechas, they have sex appeal.
Yes. I would like to put my penis on this.
That's the thing. Like, a lot of mech designs are really cool, and a lot of them are, like, visceral,
but
brutal,
some of them look
elegant,
like,
even.
Like, sexually, some of them look like they would cause a problem.
Yeah. You know?
But these not so.
The big O might be a bad one to take to bed. Perhaps you don't want
to
work with that.
I don't think I would enjoy an evening with the Iron Giant, you know?
You know? Exactly. Now the Shezarezazad,
right,
piloted by Alan Shezarezazar from Escaflowne, is a very elegant mech design. It's a Guy Malef. And you remember the little cape it has with the sword. You know, very, very smooth. It'll take you to dinner.
You know what the needs to be, right? Since there's a Dream Daddies, and then there's going to be a cat dating sim.
Matt, fucking talk to me.
There's
going to
be a cat dating sim called Perfect Date.
Yeah, okay,
there
whatever.
Needs to be, I'm just saying that there's precedent.
Get me there.
There needs to be a mecha dating game. What would it be called?
Oh, I don't have. I'm not fast enough.
Damn it.
I'm not funny enough. I don't have it on me. I'm sorry. But yes. Yes, please, yes.
From different franchises. Like, it's a Super Robot Wars, but it's a fucking dating sim.
And the AI is the what you're talking to, yes. Right? So in the same way that you interact
with... it's like talking to Siri.
Or Ada, or yeah. Exactly, right? You're dating the cockpit. Absolutely.
Have some American shit in there. It's like, have people from Robot Jocks.
I oh... How many sentient cockpits are there? And if there aren't, you just have to.
I guess
you just have
Kit
to do
from
it.
Knight Rider would technically.
God damn it! That's a real. That's real. You can do that. All of the virtual on, you know, all the virtual on troopers and whatnot. You can get those in there. Yeah. I don't know.
Or you don't. They don't even have to be the sentient cockpits. It could just be people in the machines. But you have to date them whilst we're both piloting. Like, you have to sit down at a small, tiny table.
So you have – are you like basically doing
– I'm just saying you could do it both ways.
Well, are we doing a paired up like Pacific Rim thing where you test your –
double dates.
Test your compatibility in the drift?
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
And then they can come in with you.
God damn it. Damn it. I don't know. There's a lot here.
That's good.
But a goddamn mecha dating sim is so in my wheelhouse. Somebody, please.
Yeah. Draft up some pictures.
Oh, man. And
someone draw some art.
Dude, like, people are right. Names are popping. People are all over the place.
What are some names?
Mechromancer.
Mechromancer! That's fucking it right there.
That's the best one.
Oh.
I like Mechromancer a lot, and that's what I'm holding on to right now in my heart. That's it. Yeah. Okay. All right. Good work.
Like Mechromancer 3.1, you are not dating me.
Oh my god. It hurts me sometimes that I don't just have a pocket game studio to be
at your beck and call.
To just be like, go.
Yeah.
Here it is. Go. Fuck.
That's something to keep in the mental museum. Mm. And when it needs to be unlocked, unlock those doors and throw that fresh idea on, just slap it down onto a table.
Like, I was.
Next time you're at a big, high powered business meeting.
Well, because, like, it was 4 a.m. last night, and I just shot up in bed with a thought.
Yeah.
I was just lying there, and I had to tweet it out because it was upsetting to me.
Oh, was it your rollerblader game?
Yeah. Well, the phrasing is important.
I sent you one.
Did you? I don't think I saw it.
There's a roller derby game called Rock and Roller
Derby. No, I know, but that's not it. That's like...
But then someone gave you a neon-infused first-person dodgeball roller derby game.
Because, like, there's robot stuff, and it's all, like, it's not what I'm looking for. My tweet was, okay, seriously, how come there's no super arcade-style hyper-neon roller derby games with in-depth customization and turbo meter in existence? What the fuck?
But you literally gave someone an impossible task to come up with.
But is it?
Yes.
Take roller derby and make it like NBA Jam style. Give it Tron aesthetics and a turbo meter, also NBA Jam style. Mm-hmm. Some Windjammers kind
Jam.
Of fun vibes and speed.
Right.
And allow me to make my own character and team and puns on fun roller derby names.
Dunk Lords is pretty close.
There, Dunk Lords is exactly what
it
is.
But it is basketball at the
it's
end.
It's basketball
of the
and there's no customization.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Well, I'm not sure if there's character? Much visually, but there is like setting gear and stats and swapping out things.
Okay. Because
not to the customization that I know you want.
Yeah, because here, like, what's some of the major fun of roller derby? All those crazy names, right?
Yeah.
So coming up with your derby name is should be a part of that. And coming up with a team
I agree.
Designing a logo. Like, you have the For Honor logo creator,
you would have to combine the game
shit.
That I found, Rock and Roller Derby, and that other neon infused Tron one. You have to combine those
you'd
two.
You'd have to
maybe
just make
you
your own
something.
Thing. You'd have to make your own thing.
Yeah, you really do need that pocket fucking studio.
That's what I'm saying. But first things first, Mechromancer.
That's very good. Oh, kudos to whoever came up with that.
That's good. Good
it's,
work.
It's strong. News.
Ads.
Yes. Holy shit. You didn't even get to the name of it.
Oh, god damn it. Yeah. Well, before I do that, proper, here we go. RPG underscore Chicago gets the credit.
That's Techromancer?
Gets the credit for Necromancer.
Yeah, no. So you're hired.
Job. All right.
you're the marketing guy for Necromancer.
Just to give credit where credit's due.
There you go.
And credit is also due to our sponsors this week.
Which are?
This week, the Best Friend Cast is sponsored by Loot Crate.
Loot Crate, creative loots.
You know the deal. If you don't know the deal, where the fuck you been living? Under a rock?
If you don't know, then now you know.
Well, if you have been living under a rock, I got good news for you. You can have a loot crate delivered to that rock.
Oh, jeez.
Here we go.
There's a lot of rocks on this street.
If you want to get all the fun stuff you can get at a convention dealer room straight to your door every month for less than $20.
Less than 20.
Then you got to get in on the latest loot crate. You want to head over to lootcrate.com/super. And use the promo code SUPER. Save $3 on that already inexpensive subscription. And what are you getting? A different fun theme every month with different items that come from the things you love. August's theme?
Is Kingdom.
Kingdom.
So, Kingdom Death Monster.
What are you getting? Not necessarily. Don't lie. Stop lying.
You're getting Legend of Zelda, Adventure Time, and Lord of the Rings.
There's some big kingdoms in those worlds.
Lots of them.
And of course, you've got your lucky subscriber who gets a mega crate every month. You have until when, Matt?
You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive this month's crate.
There you go. So if you want kingdom-themed fun items, and of course you've got your options as well if you want
to. I have to tell
get in on
tell,
loot anime or loot pets.
I have to tell Leanna about loot wear.
Loot wear,
fanatical fashionista.
Oh.
I didn't even know that one existed. Loot pet is still new to me. I'm still wrapping my mind around that concept.
So monthly wearables and accessories with cult classics from your favorite franchises. That's loot wear.
Cool. That,
you can switch it up. You can switch up your styles. Keep them guessing. Is it going to be C groove, A groove, P groove?
It's like Matt,
S groove, N groove,
K groove. Wearing black shirt, or black shirt. Like, yeah, we'll see what we got.
Yeah,
maybe
we
got a black shirt.
Don't you worry about that. We got a couple.
That. Let me worry about that.
Black shirt crate.
Yes. Well, no. Loot Crate does have a lot of different colored shirts.
There's some fun designs.
Yeah, I get black shirt crate. That's another great idea.
Next month's theme, Gogi. No, it's not. No,
next month's
no.
theme, Necromancer.
No. Let's get over to lootcrate.com/super. Promo code super. Save $3 on that new subscription. Thanks, as always, for their ongoing support of the Friendcast, you guys.
Thank you, Loot Crate.
Love you.
Love you. Give me more black t-shirts. You always know a Loot Crate person by just... Like, you'll see them on the street. It doesn't even have to be at a con anymore. I'll see a guy, and I'm like, that's that one X-Files shirt I got from that one Loot Crate a year ago.
Yep, I recognize it. I see him. The sponsor for this week is also, give me a little drum roll. Stall for time.
I'm stalling for time currently.
That's a good boy.
Time is stopped.
Oh, shit. Tokyo Tomare.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Time is still stopped.
That reminds me of something I'll get to afterwards. But right now, the other sponsor is The Elder Scrolls. Strategy card games are fun. Online strategy card games are arguably even more fun.
Arguably.
You know what isn't fun?
What?
Stale online strategy card games where nothing changes for months and months.
You would be more of an expert in that area.
Losing the same decks week after losing to the same decks week after week. It's garbage,
yeah,
Matt.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it.
Why play an online digital card game that doesn't change? Do you have any good reasons?
Well, why play anything that's a persistent thing that doesn't change over time? That's just stagnation there.
We don't want stagnation.
No.
We want the Elder Scrolls Legends, Heroes of Skyrim, a different take on the online strategy game.
Okay.
With unique gameplay elements such as lanes, runes, prophecies, frequent balance
prophecies
updates
now.
To the meta.
Huh.
Updates to the meta, that's my language right
that
there.
That is.
In-game tournaments and new cards every month. Legends is a fresh new take that's fair and interesting.
I should
feature
ask,
something for everybody.
Sorry, I was going to say I should ask the real Rocky about this. He just got on Twitter, and his main thing is like, oh, I'm into the online card games, D&D and shit. Ask if he knows anything about this.
There you go. For those of you who play solo, story mode will have you immersed in the world of the Elder Scrolls universe. I hear that's a universe a couple people enjoy.
Yeah. Seems somewhat popular.
Perhaps more than that. With fully voice-acted cutscenes, beautiful motion graphics.
What?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
While playing through the campaign, unlock new cards, level up your cards to tailor to your playstyle and decks. And Legends also features a solo arena where you draft a deck of cards and play against various AI opponents and various different rules and conditions. But if you're more of a PvP person, jump into the Versus Arena online battle mode, arena mode, construct your 30-card deck.
Story mode? Jesus.
Yeah, man.
And I clash didn't know against... card games could support such a feature.
There you go.
That's crazy.
Like I said, with full on voice acted cutscenes. But if you're more of a PvP person, you can jump into battle mode and have people bring their finely tuned decks against online opponents and play in ranked battles.
Okay.
So if you're not able to jump into the game, link your Bethesda.com account and your Twitch account for a chance at free in-game loot and currencies and card packs that you can get randomly just by watching the Legends stream or by streaming the game yourselves. What's the quote you always say? You should win things by watching.
Literally win things by watching.
That seems to be the case here.
Damn.
Whether you're a strategy game card fan, or a fan of the award-winning Elder Scrolls characters, worlds, and of course dragons, The Elder Scrolls Legends: Heroes of Skyrim is available now for free. Find it today on Google Play, the App Store, Steam for PC and Mac. Thank you, The Elder Scrolls.
Thank you, man. I didn't think we'd be in such a future that win things by watching would even be possible.
Need some water.
I thought it's no longer a joke. I don't have any water for you, man.
Okay,
I can get you a 7-Up.
Hey, man.
There's lemon dice in the fridge.
I'm okay. I'll survive.
Well, I want one.
Big water for big shells.
Why don't you get me one? Super. No! That's fine.
I knocked over his toy.
You didn't have far to fall.
All right. Let's get into the news.
The news.
Oh, no. Is this hot off the presses?
What?
Uh-oh.
Who what?
Ric Flair's in the hospital.
Right before we started, I saw Sasha Banks, because I follow her on Twitter, and she's like, yo, my hearts and prayers go out to Ric Flair, and I couldn't see what was trending or what the deal was, but, well, he's pretty old, though. Hopefully he recovers.
Do you know how old he is?
He's gotta be in his late 60s.
Yeah, 68.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, Rick. Do what you always do. Survive.
I'd like to think that when he's in the hospital...
Continue surviving.
When he's in the hospital and he gets up from, like, the bed, he does the Ric Flair flop where he just smacks down on the floor. And all the doctors like, oh, my God. And he's like, don't worry. I'm just selling. Yeah, I was selling the surgery.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it, Nature Boy. In the news, what's going on? Okay. So I guess first things first, yeah.
What is the first?
Hideki Kamiya.
Yes.
To say Yoko-san saved Platinum would not be an exaggeration.
And when he says Yoko-san, he means Yoko Taro, director of...
He means Yoko Ono of the Beatles fame.
Of course.
The woman who brought the Beatles together.
Yeah, they're finally, yeah, and solidified their relationship forever.
Yes.
But, you know, it's pretty crazy that Kamiya said this. Like, there's other like head guys at the head of Platinum that would probably say a line like this. I'm surprised this Kamiya is just like straight up like, yeah, you saved our bacon, because without this project,
well,
like, he doesn't say in so many words, but everyone's like, oh, you mean because Microsoft, like, you got not paid from Microsoft after putting years of work into Scalebound.
Exactly.
That's
so
what people are saying that, he doesn't talk about that.
Yeah, I think we can just simply infer that they would probably have been okay if not for the major loss of Scalebound, and that would have hurt them in such a way, because unlike, you know, the tiny games that they've worked on over the years for
like
little things,
ones.
Scalebound was a massive project for the studio, and yeah, you can't take the hit on that and not be like, oh, it's fine, I'm going to shrug it off. You know, I mean, I think at the time Kamiya said something along the lines of we'll continue to be guns for hire. Right. Like,
yeah.
He just kind of said like, yeah, we'll do what we do. And that's that.
I remember something like that quote. And it's like stuff like Bayonetta 2 and Wonderful 101. That's like, those are just things that Nintendo would be like, I don't care. Just doesn't matter if it really sells. We'll just pay you for it. will work with you in the future. They're working on something for the Switch, but like, this is the first time, as far as we know publicly, like Platinum put work and time into something and then it never got finished. So like, they don't see that money.
What do Microsoft have any large productions on the horizon that are not just like timed exclusive things?
No.
Nothing comes to mind, eh? I mean, even Anthem
there's
was
no
like
Gears of War, and there's no
Anthem
Gears of
was
War
like
as far as we
on
know
the
yet.
Stage, but it was just like revealed there first. It doesn't actually
Sea
have
of Thieves,
ties.
Sea of Thieves from Rare.
Hmm.
That's not out yet. There's that, but I wouldn't even categorize that as a huge, massive, the expensive game.
Okay, well there you go then. I guess. So I mean, you know, you have to wonder like how. Yeah, I'm definitely curious as to how Scalebound would have performed, but one thing's for sure is that the cancellation probably did some massive damage.
It hurt Platinum more than it did Microsoft.
So the translation of Kamiya's tweet, specifically for your context, everybody, is near success has to this point given Platinum a new fan base, a growing staff, a brilliant success story, an increase in qualified job applicants, and a great benefit. Normally, I can't help but do everything by myself. It's a pitiful story. But to say that Yoko-san saved Platinum would not be an exaggeration. I cannot thank him enough. Nier Automata, saving Platinum games.
Mm. I get what he means. It's more like there's more eyes on us because traditionally a lot of our projects go under-marketed, or like only people that – or like people still think that Konami made Metal Gear Rising. You know?
Or something like that.
But this is like clearly – us, and you know, it has our fingerprints all over it. Like, I think it's just clearly a project because aside from Bayonetta, and even then, it's like Bayonetta 1 even didn't sell all that well across two platforms at the time. But people know Bayonetta, but it's like it's on the Wii U, the second one, so it's locked to a certain amount of fan base. But this is on all three major platforms, it's a huge success. It's clearly, you know,
yes,
like more of their thing,
absolutely,
even though it was also obviously made by Namco.
And so the thing is that like I think
it's Namco Bandai that's near, right?
Published it?
Yeah.
Not sure. You can find that out really quickly.
I will.
I think we can be more precise and say 2B saved Platinum.
I was also thinking that.
Let's not mince words.
Let's just assume that what's his face from Nier 1
Old man Nier.
If he was on the fucking cover of Automata, I'm sorry.
Square Enix, of course. Let's just take it straight to the source and go. That robot booty saved Platinum. Strong character design and a giant folder called 2B.zip.
I mean, like, also don't mince words. Like, the game has incredible voice acting and story and shit, and it's like a very deep story, or whatever. But asses.
So you know.
Guess what? You know why fucking Arms sold a bunch?
Mm-hmm.
Asses.
There you go.
You know?
You know what they say? Platinum never loses its thick.
The luster of the thickness.
Oh, man. It's,
you know, the Platinum logo should be a shiny ass.
Yeah, just add
and bloom, bloom,
take
bloom,
the star. Just take the star
just
and
be bouncing
put it,
off that thing,
bam.
Man.
Flipping quarters.
I want to see fucking Wonderful 101. All of them are wearing thongs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
Wonderful 102, rather. Whatever it may be.
But yeah, that's what it is, though. And I think that, like, unfortunately, you know, the reality, it's not, that's, it's unfortunate, but it's something we've always known is that Platinum's fantastic, unique in-house games are limited appeal to broad audiences. You know, like, we know and love the Wonderful 101, but that's super limited to a bunch of people. And like, and it didn't, you know.
And Scalebound was the thing that seemed to be like, oh, we're trying to get into those bigger, epic Western games that people, it's like, get really into. And that's kind of what Scalebound, although I still feel like we barely saw anything of it, or what you actually did.
Yeah.
We just saw a couple fights.
Yeah.
Like, what did you do when you're not fighting? Was it just fighting? I don't know. Like, some people are like, oh, it's a Monster Hunter game. And I'm like,
So the quality's usually a niche thing. And, Nier Automata's, like, spotlight on from the game industry is one that's, like, this is one of the first times where it's, like, been on center stage.
Yeah.
You know, and that's crazy and awesome. But here's what's even more impressive. That was center stage in a climate surrounded by Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Horizon.
And fucking Persona 5.
Like Yakuza, Horizon, Zelda, Persona. Yeah, then this was smack dab in the middle of it. It was
insane.
February and March.
And it manages to hold its own and stand out above that.
Yeah.
And be a success in a time when people really want to spend their money on other things.
So it sold like what? Like 1.2 million
they
copies?
Did, yeah, it was great, you know? Very successful. Like, it's really cool that it was able to do that. Yeah, fuck yeah, man. This is such a weird, like, unexpected Liam supporting universe that we live in.
Yeah, no.
You know?
I mean, if you had told me it was going to, you know, be a, like, a, I don't know the budget of the game, but, like, obviously a big success before it came out, I'm like, oh, it's a platinum game. I'm going to play it eventually. I'm going to like it. And I love the demo when I played it. And we're all like, yeah, no, that's going to be great. But I wasn't expecting it to actually do well. Especially since, like, you know, the first one was just such a weird thing that I didn't even think would ever
get
us.
Why would this come back?
Why would this come back?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yo, 2017, man. We're not done yet.
No.
Pretty all right year for gaming. The other.
It's been okay.
We got some rumors.
It's no 2011.
Well, nothing can be.
I always try to pick a year that everyone's like, what came out?
But last time you tried that, the person who was there had a fucking list ready for you.
Yeah, no, there's always something.
I forgot who it was, but it might have been Stop Skeletons, but yeah, someone had just like a, what are you talking about? There was,
and then I just locked myself into the bathroom for like an hour. I cried about how wrong I was.
So other stories going on this week include some whispers.
Whispers.
Whispers of an
on the wind.
Whispers of an Okami port.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know.
So guess what? This is a Capcom rumor, so it is 100% true. Because I can't think of the last Capcom rumor that wasn't true.
Specifically, Okami HD heading for Christmas release on PS4, Xbox One.
If only there was a console that had a touch screen that you
could... Yeah.
This is ridiculous if this doesn't come out on the Switch at all. Like, I'm fine with it not, but for people that it is fucking made for the system.
I believe it.
It came out on the Wii,
because, why wouldn't, you know, once you start that one port and you have this art game.
And why not on PC either? It doesn't mention PC at all.
And people love buying Okami.
You saw that Street Fighter 2 was a massive success for Capcom. They were like, oh shit, we got to put in more projects.
Yeah.
Like this, like,
surprisingly
Okami better
so
come
at that
out
price
on
rate.
Anything. Yes, surprising it was at that price range. It didn't deserve to sell a lot at that price range, but so, regardless.
Yeah, so, you know, I think Okami's a cool game that people should continue to port, because...
Now I'm ready to play through it again, because I was not down to play the Wii or the PS3
version.
I was just not, I was like, no. But okay. It's been enough time where I'm like, let me try to do it.
I still think that 90 hours is gonna... It's gonna hurt me. I'm still.
I'm with you.
But it's not just that. But it's also that if I'm gonna go back to Okami, I'm gonna go back to Okami Den first, because I bought a copy of that and I still haven't cracked it open because Den exists.
I always want to buy it when I see a star and I never.
No
do.
One's got
I,
much to a, say about
guess
it.
Guess what? It's not as good.
Yeah,
that's all we know.
I believe that, you know, but it's a different game.
The Chibi Terasu is the
best. Yeah, it's a different Okami game that exists, and, you know, there's not a lot of opinions out there on it, so. Yeah.
It's like Beautiful Joe on the DS. I never actually played it.
Yeah. So
what's it even called?
Double Trouble.
It's really called Double Trouble?
Beautiful Joe?
On the DS, yeah.
I think it's...
No, it would have to be...
Red Hot Rumble?
No, if it was on the DS, it would have to be have a DS... subtitle.
I'm pretty sure it was called Double Trouble.
It was called Double Something.
But there was also Red Hot Rumble, the fighting for the type fighting game.
Which we strike.
Yeah.
That was my first moment I was ever cross at Liam, where he was like, you really need to do Red Hot Rumble for your Switcher channel. And then I was like, okay, yeah, I never actually played it. And I think I popped it in with you, and we played like, this is functionally impossible to make a good video out of.
Yeah. We gave up on that real quick.
I was very mad at him. I was like, you're wasting my time. I bought that game for nothing.
Yeah. But there's other games we played a bunch of off stream that never ended up on the fucking channel.
Yeah, but that seemed like, I was like, yeah,
I feel like we put hours into Billy Hatcher without actually playing.
We played like 30 minutes of Billy Hatcher.
We played so much Billy Hatcher.
Remember, dude, we tried Spawn on the Dreamcast, the split screen? God. That was not happening. But anyway, regardless, I hope this is true. I just hope it gets announced for everything eventually, PC and Switch, because it's a shame for it not to.
Yep, and like those Bayo ports, it's kind of like, look, guys, if you haven't played it, get on that shit.
Yep.
Not that there's any shortage of shit to play, but you know. So that's what's going on there.
This is 100% true, this rumor.
Okay.
It's by Capcom, it's leaked, and it's confirmed.
Now that we have other 100%.
Didn't they announce Marvel characters? They just said it in a press release, and like, there's no videos, no nothing.
Marvel versus Capcom Infinite?
Yeah. Like, they announced two characters in a press release.
Are you just jumping into a random story right now?
Not like, random. It's Capcom.
Okay.
And it's rumors.
I don't have that on the docket, but if you've got some,
I saw something.
If you've got something, you know, so you see something, say something.
If I see something, I'll say something.
Is that based on anything, or?
I swear I thought I saw a news story like 3 days ago that said, oh, Capcom also just basically confirmed these characters in Marvel versus Capcom, but they have no videos. No, like, it was just kind of mentioned offhandedly in a press release. I don't know. Let me know if people say if I'm crazy or not.
Ghost Rider.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, because they have those shittily drawn comic book covers.
Okay, so
that's why.
Well, Firebrand showed up on one of those covers too. So,
did you see that Hagar versus Spider-Man cover that Thomas retweeted? It's the worst.
No,
his tweet says like, "Hey, I bet I can make you laugh." And your friend's like, "Yeah, try me." And then he just posts a picture of this comic book cover. It's horrendous art of Hagar in mid like against Spider-Man. It's just so awkward and terribly drawn. Like, it's.
Well, so I will say this. Yeah. So Ghost Rider confirmed for Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
If it's fucking Dan Ketch Ghost Rider and not Robbie Ray's Ghost Rider, like not
Matt. It's whatever fucking Ghost Rider was in Marvel 3.
Just fucking, all you have to do is update his costume.
It's the same. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, it's like the character was already there. We've done this. So
far be it from them to put some effort in.
You know what though? I will say this. The fact that, like, okay, so this is an under the radar announcement, right?
Yes.
But what would you rather, this or a big crazy reveal trailer that builds it up like Trailer 5 and then Ghost Rider?
Fair enough.
Right?
That's totally right.
They had
totally
no right. winning move here.
Yeah, you're right. You're
okay.
Right. Okay.
Maybe
not have Ghost Rider in the game.
That's not what we're discussing.
That's not on the table.
The only winning move is not to play.
Fair enough.
Let's talk about loot boxes in Shadow of War.
Can we talk? Did you talk about Shelob last week?
What do you want to say about Shelob?
Do you know what I'm talking about? Shelob?
Mm-hmm.
Giant spider?
The giant spider is in this game?
Oh, you don't know. This is amazing.
No, I don't know.
Shelob is now a super sexy woman with sexy lady parts.
Seriously?
Shadow of War! Oh
my God. The fucking spider that is in Lord of the Rings that they fight and run from.
She now, like, there's the spiders in the game, but now she has an ultra sexy lady form. Jim Sterling did a video about this a week ago or so. So there is the spider form, but, like, yeah, she gets some big yabos, she gets big vaginas and asses. It's like, amazing.
That just, like, it's already the most unoriginal thing I've ever heard.
The dust that is Tolkien's skeleton is rolling around in little puffs of wind inside his coffin. Because it's not like his body can spin.
Dude, look.
I'll find you a picture.
The stock killed it. It's over.
Oh, that. Oh, you're going on that thing of it, too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The stock killed it,
this
all right?
This is way lazier.
And if you want to go with your fucking monster Musume, whatever, Rachna, Rachnera, whatever characters, and you can take one of those, too. But at the end of the day, why are we taking just giant monsters and turning them into sexy humans now? Yeah, what are we doing?
Because it's like, hey, bro, you're going to get Shadow of War?
Rachnia.
Mordor? No. No, but there's a fucking broad in there.
All right.
Okay, but micro loot boxes.
Well, I mean, yeah. Because here's the thing. Shout outs to Eurogamer for their subtitle.
Sexy
here.
Shelob. Look at her.
Oh, it's just a girl. It's just a girl.
No, it's just, well, it's the picture.
It's a picture of her. It's a picture
but
of
then
a human
she starts
girl.
Making out with your character. He's going to kiss him.
Why would a giant spider decide to turn into a human being? Why didn't she turn into an orc or an uruk-hai or a hobbit or an elf or any of the other races of Middle-earth?
I think they're like,
why a human?
Okay, Wooly, we're in the concept phase at Warner Brothers, whatever. No, a monolith or whoever makes it. So they're like, oh, so what should we have? Well, you know, you want to draw in the fucking Kellogg's Booberry or whoever you play in this game, Talion, and to lure him into the lair, of course she's going to turn a sexy lady. Now, that sexy ladies and spiders have a kind of thing. It's like a witch type thing, and they lure you in. But then it's like when she's about to strike, turn her into a gross spider. So that's like, I'm sure that's what they're thinking.
So then when am I getting my giant flaming Balrog dong? When am I getting big naked man Balrog with chains and fire with a big flaming loincloth as he's swinging it around?
I like that.
And you're like,
I wouldn't mind that.
You shall pass.
Can you pass?
You want to pass?
I love the Balrog. I love flaming penises.
Come on now.
Oh, if you want to see that, play the final boss of Dante's Inferno.
Fuck.
It was really awkward Satan. When Rocky was watching me fight him.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
I heard about Satan.
Yeah. But that's part of all the Shadow of War news. What now?
Come, you fools.
Come, you fools. What new dickery is this?
Oh, no. In the depths of Mordor.
So Jared said you can buy loot chests, Jared, from the Warner Brothers site.
Okay, so here's what's going on. There's loot chests in Shadow of War, right? And it's all those things. You get your armor and your items and your XP boosts and whatever. But also, there's literally orcs inside of them.
That pop out?
That you gain in your army.
Oh, I thought they pop out of the treasure chest and they steal your loot.
No.
And go back in.
No. You gain... the whole mechanic
yeah.
of the thing?
You fight guys and you can choose to enslave them and stuff.
And the nemesis system, I believe it's
yes.
called?
Yes, that's what it's called.
You get nemesis... The nemesis system is now in loot boxes. Not exclusively, but it's just like... Like, you're putting mechanics in the loot boxes. What are you doing?
So
what are you doing that for?
When Shadow of Mordor had the initial trailer, 60 minutes long, and this wasn't, like, on camera or whatever, I was laughing the entire trailer because it was so over the top and hilarious. And if this was just called Shadow of War and it was some new IP, I would have been fine with it. But because it's based on the Lord of the Rings, and it had this in the first Shadow of Mordor or more whatever, the first one, I'm like, eh, it's over the top, it's fine. But this one's so over the top and so action movie. I was just laughing in the trailer, and I was like, all right, let's see if it's just me. Wooly, watch this.
Yeah.
I had you sit down, and your face was completely neutral at the start. Then I slowly start seeing you lose it, and you're like,
I didn't know what you wanted me. Yeah, I didn't know what you wanted me
to
notice.
Yeah, because I didn't give you much context.
But it just doesn't stop video gaming as hard as possible. And after, like, when he drops down and he fucking kills 8 dudes and then there's a boss and then
that
he fights
boss
him
has a boss.
And then that you jump over him and fight the boss, right? And then the boss fears you and runs away.
And then your mount jumps over a pillar of fire.
And then you're just flying on a fucking dragon, burning down a thing. And then they're like, the boss's boss has to answer. So now when a dragon-sized orc shows up, or whatever that giant mother thing is. And you're like, what are we doing?
I would love for someone to do some splicey where they take footage of that trailer and they find if it exists, or at least quotes from the man, find an interview with Tolkien where he's like, it was a story about love. It was showing the smallest person has the most power, and cut to the footage of the game.
And like, last time we tried to talk about this, and like, cause it's hard to explain the funny here, because we tried to talk about it last time, and I remember some people were like, why are you guys like shitting on this game? That stuff looks cool. What's the problem? And it's like, it's the over-the-topness is so intensely packed together in this trailer specifically. You don't get a chance to breathe, because he jumped, like, the game, they want you to see this game as an exciting moment-to-moment action adventure.
And the books are like primarily all about the hobbits. Like, it's all about the hobbits and their journey and photos. Yeah. And the movies did what they had to do, which is to get people more on board and like the mainstream audience. It's like, have more stuff with Aragorn, have more fighting, have blah, 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 blah. And this is now like 7,000 other movies came and went. Like, even The Hobbit, like the last two Hobbit movies were just all mindless, like not great action. I always found
stretch, Phil.
The first
stretch,
Hobbit movie
MSG.
Was, I liked, but the other two I did not. And this is just that Quinoa. To the upteenth degree. And now it's like, hey, guess what? Get your loot box, get your XP boosters,
get your orc crates.
If you want to get some llamas bread, get llamas bread boosters, boost that llamas bread. You need that to give you that like +3 armor. You get that llamas bread, son, get the ale, get the ale boost. Like, it's just a little over the top now.
And more than a little. And I mean, like, so like, just gameplay wise, those systems on top of systems on top of systems is the type of shit we made fun of in that Cross Tekken Fighterpedia. Like, it's just going so hard and so heavy, you know? And like I, again, like, I feel like part of it, you had to be there to just see the moment to moment video gaming trying to one itself up before the last event finished.
Let's say we just change the name of this game, like, keep all the gameplay mechanics, but just to put this into context, why don't we just call this game Catcher and the Rye? Like Holden's Sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, that's the same.
Shadow of Caulfield.
Shadow of Caulfield, you know? Like, what? It comes from a fairly humble, like, literary source that does have action, does have fantasy elements, but they've put so much onto it.
And so now with these orc boxes, right? You can buy them with in-game currency, but of course you can buy them with real currency as well.
That's fine.
And so the whole thing's supposed to be like, because it's more than cosmetic, but you can earn it by just playing and grinding.
Because that's what big mainstream video games are supposed to be now.
Right, and you know, so that's the whole thing with it. But I just think, like, even if you can get all this stuff by just playing the game, it feels like, why are you putting your major appeal of your system, which is the Nemesis system, like, why are you breaking that into, you know why, because you make money on it.
Yeah.
But it feels like a shallow
good
move.
Business, yeah.
It's not, why are you doing this? It's like, we know why. It feels like a poor move. Like,
actually, the example I was thinking of was actually sort of done already. I already talked about it once. It was Dante's Inferno. Mm. Let's take this story that has like zero action. It has just literally characters walking and talking and waxing poetic about life and thinking about sacrifice and whatever. And now let's make
Dante
it
Alighieri
over the top action game.
Yeah, like,
and he's a fucking Templar,
like stitching a cross to his chest.
You love that part. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, guess what? The game is still probably gonna be really fun to play. But it's, you know, all this microtransaction stuff, I've never been a huge fan, but like, whatever. That's to be expected. But it's just because, to me, they just market this so over the top. It's hilarious. Like,
Based on the source material, you couldn't get any further.
So much funnier.
And here's the only way to save it.
Yeah, what?
You double down. Part three, you just Saints Row it. And you just completely disconnect from the word Lord of the Rings.
Okay, so This one, like we already kind of said, like Kellogg's Booberry, that Talion uses the Witch King, whatever spirits attach him. It's a stand. Like, fuck it. It's a stand, right?
Okay.
It's because he shoots it out. It hovers around him.
Sure.
Powers him up, whatever. Sure. So I think for the third game, other characters awaken their Witch King spirit and everyone starts having whatever. I someone needs to, like, if Sauron is in this game or if he's not, I don't know. I forget what's happening. But if Sauron either needs to be a stand user or be a stand.
Okay.
You know?
So the ring wraiths just possess different people. And people start stand battle.
Because his soul is fused with the Ringwraith Spirit King. I don't know. Kellogg's Booberry.
Why not?
Whatever. And like, that's how you do. You're right. If the third game goes even crazier, I'll be like, okay, no. Now, you went so far beyond that.
Everything else.
Yeah.
Mordor Crusaders. this just seems like a shallow or poor decision that's going to result in tons of money. So all we can do is go poo-poo on you while you count your big dollars.
There's going to be a hilarious video I'll make of it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They're going to make hand over fist money on that shit.
I don't know for sure. Like, I kind of thought Deus Ex, Mankind Divided was going to, like, just... Because the first one sold all right. I mean, the first reboot. And then that failed.
But there's you know what? Like
it's not always assured.
Well, it just looks like certain franchises, right, when they come back after with a sequel, you get marketing, you get Paul to come in and comb over it and, like, try new game things, marketing, right? Yeah. They're like, this is what works here, this type of DLC, this type of plan, whatnot. And it feels like this is one that's had, like, four or five passes.
Shadow War?
It feels like, you know what I mean? Like, you whenever, like, they get to kind of run wild and, like, they're like, oh, shit, they're letting us do that?
Yeah.
What else can we do? You know? Like,
everything.
Let's put in the crazy ideas that go too far, expecting to get shut down, and then they green light all of it, and you go, oh, fuck!
Yeah, they, like, lured in with the promise of you can just go crazy on it. At the end of the day, here's another little reason why I'm sad. I'm like, I'm glad that the first Shadow of War more sold well, and then Monolith had a big success because they were doing like game, like little downloadable things like Lord of the Rings Conquest, if anyone remembers that, Batman, Joker, Gotham, cartoony shooter. Remember that thing?
Yeah.
Gotham, I forget the fucking name. Gotham City Bruisers.
You're throwing me off.
What was it called?
I tested it.
Yeah, you did. Gotham Bad Boys.
Imposters. Gotham City Imposters.
Thank you. You're worth your salt. And then this was a big success, but like, I want them to make another Condemned. I want them to make another Fear, maybe. I want them to do another No One Lives Forever. Mm-hmm. I would love No One Lives Forever to come. I don't know who owns that, but that's the studio that made it. Did Warner Brothers get it? I don't know. I want them to make their own brand new IP that's not tied to a fucking book or a movie or something.
Yeah, like, but that's a risk. That's a financial risk. It takes a lot of money, and when it doesn't work, then they have to fire people. Or if they think it's not going to work early on, then they scale bound it.
All right.
Too real.
Yeah. Down to earth there.
So, speaking of ridiculous loot boxes, well, it's not there anymore, but For Honor is back in the news because Season 3 had a tournament that recently went down to promote the new characters classes and new stages and new stuff, and, of course, the dedicated servers. But unfortunately,
what happened?
So there's an early bug that's been around for a while now, and there's multiple actually, because there's stuff that I remember like finding out and trying out in training mode and stuff, where like you can do ghost hits by unlocking and attacking at the right time.
Okay,
there's things where when you lock on in the game and then unlock, moves behave differently.
Okay,
right. And like, I remember there was a thing early on where like the Shugoki could swing one direction and then unlock, and instantly without an actual animation, another swing would happen, like a ghost swing, right?
Okay.
And so I was like, what the fuck? That's huge. That's super strong. You know what I mean? Like, it's a hit that just comes out and you can't really block it or parry it, or you can block it, but you can't parry it rather. And so like, I remember being like, that's crazy. They're going to get rid of that. And it turns out they didn't patch this stuff out. It stayed in the game and it applies to every character. And now it's like this whole thing called unlock tech, right? And so what unlock tech is,
I'm
going to keep it surface. I'm not going to go too in depth here, because the point is that they had a tournament and the guy who won just abused it. And it was, he 3-0'd every match he was in. I believe there. And like, what ends up happening is, if you go watch their live stream, this guy just wins by pretty much, using this.
Is it that guy that's in the thumbnail? A guy with like aviators on?
Yeah. So,
okay.
So he plays a bunch of matches, and like, the unlock tech happens to work especially well, when you're basically doing, you're unlocking and your attack becomes unparryable. It makes certain attacks faster. It stops the recoil. Right.
Jesus.
And so like, the Nobushi is a fast character already. And while some characters get faster attacks, she gets attacks with pretty much no recovery.
Like, you, okay.
So you try it and then you miss and then you just try again. And he just abused it all the way to the top, and it really, really like makes it almost impossible to deal with her, from a meta point of view. And so when the guy won,
what's his quote?
Well, it's more just like
I saw a quote up above there in the story.
Yeah. So basically
right there.
Yeah. Like, the guy was just like, I didn't think it would be this easy. Palin said after his victory. And like, when the For Honor dev hands him the trophy going like, congrats, you won. Good job. He pretty much goes, hey man, fucking nice job. You're probably going to have to change your strategy next time around though. He's like, I don't think that gameplay, soon you might have to change your play style, but honestly, fucking good job.
Okay.
Right. So like, they're just like, right, we get it. You spam this all the way to the top. And that's unfortunate, because
what do you think about if you do the For Honor tutorials and if it has a section that says unlock tech?
Yeah. Well,
that's fine.
Well, here's the state it's in as far as tournament play goes. Like, people have been just using this as a thing to fight in tournaments and win with.
So is there,
it's like role canceling.
Is there a contingent that's been like, no, use that shit?
Well,
like, I don't agree with it.
Well, I think it's more along the lines of, wait, this isn't patched yet. Okay, well, here's what it does, right? And so like, when I read an in-depth thread on it, and like, people that use it and exactly how it improves certain characters. And the thing is that the reason why a lot of people, like tournament players, are fine with it is because it takes characters that wouldn't be as good and makes them better by improving them drastically in these crazy ways. But it's a super bug. And just like role canceling, it's like, you know, like, people that are up there in the meta are like, this can make this character viable because it adds this particular thing. And it's just like, yeah, but then it makes this already good character unbeatable.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the thing, is that when it gets to like, this makes this character unbeatable, like, there has to be a limit where you say, well, like, maybe you shouldn't use that for that character or something.
Would you say that he has no honor?
No, I think he has very little honor.
Questionable honor.
I think they should add a question mark to the end of the actual
For
name.
For honor?
Of the...
Maybe?
Maybe.
For fun.
No, yeah. There should be a game called For Fun. I like that.
Yeah, so that's a weird one, but
that's kind of
it's not a good look when you're brand new season with new content.
And like, this is not fixed.
Yeah.
And it was a known issue.
And it just, exactly. It's not a good look for showing off all the changes and whatnot. So,
okay.
Godspeed.
Godspeed, whoever. I don't know who you're talking to.
Well, I mean, the main guy left, so now it's just down to Ubisoft.
Okay. All right.
Swery is about to announce a new game.
Finally.
He's going to do it at his event, Coffee Time with Swery 65. He's going to come at PAX West.
Yeah, wish I could go.
For the first time in 3 years. What do you think it's going to be? Something new?
Well, it's got to be something new. I don't think his company owns the rights to anything else, so I assume it's a brand new game, because White Owls is like All their other previous games were like with D3, Ignition or any other publishers.
Any chance it'll be D5?
No, because Microsoft owns that.
Okay.
And Microsoft never let him make a sequel, even though the game fucking sold a million copies. I don't understand. Anyway, because D4 is like, oh, and then someone walks through a door. That's the end of that game. And you go, oh, like, it fucking sucks. We'll never, ever get a conclusion to that story. Fuck Microsoft. Whatever it is, it's just like, if Swery's directing it, like, I'll fucking be there. I would like it
maybe
to be.
Maybe Microsoft's trying to sabotage Japan.
They're doing a good job.
Maybe it's just an elaborate ruse.
Angry at the years of shunning Japan did to their consoles, Microsoft strikes back.
Right? Now that we get the chance to invest in some of you guys, we can then rip the walls around you.
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to look forward to this announcement, whatever it is. I have no idea. Just hope it's like a fun story-based thing. That's all I can say.
The huge.
I'd be angry if it was like a card-based microtransaction thing or, you know, that's the only way. Football sim.
Yeah.
You know?
So not much to talk about with King of Fighters Destiny because you already did. Yeah, but it is available on YouTube.
It is. I was about to say before, it's fucking free.
It's out
at the end of the day, yeah. It's free. You can watch it on Steam for free and on YouTube for
free. It's free real estate.
Maybe I shouldn't complain about it as much.
It's not much of a news story. It's just a simple, like, hey guys, Sonic Mania's intro is fucking great. Not much else to say besides appreciate and enjoy the intro to Sonic Mania. It's really cool. It's a fun little animation.
I like that the guy that did it was like just a regular Sonic fan artist that did silly like three panel cart. Like think about like Wario, Luigi, and then Mario like throws the fireball into his face.
Sure, sure.
Like imagine that guy got to do the animation for Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
Like that's what this is like, kind
of. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And it definitely captures the spirit of, you know, Sonic, Knuckles, and Tails just like running through stages, hanging out. Being goofy. There's very little to get angry at. You know what I mean? It's just fun.
Is there?
It's a lot of fun, nice animation.
Maybe you can get angry at a lot of Sonic Mania stuff.
Oh. Perhaps, perchance, mayhaps, could you be referring to the crime that is the fact that Sonic Mania doesn't have a platinum trophy?
Now, what do you mean? How can a game not have a platinum trophy?
Because Sony decides which games get it and which games don't, and it's not up to the people making the game.
But fuck that game, Wooly. I have no interest in playing this awful game that doesn't have a platinum trophy. I will not support this game now.
Look, again, I'm not saying you're a heroin addict.
But
but if you start jonesing when the needle's not around, you have a fucking problem. If you're an achievement hunter, if you're one of those folks that if you thoroughly enjoy doing that, that's fine. I'm glad you get that. And no one's saying that those are bad and should go away.
No.
What we are saying, though, is that the absence of them should not mean anything.
No, here's the thing. If they announce, hey, Sonic Mania doesn't have a platinum trophy because, you know, whatever, for reasons. If someone goes, oh, fuck, that sucks. Anyway, game still looks great. But if someone goes, fuck this game, I will not be supporting it. What a disappointment. Fuck you. You actually don't like playing video games.
Hashtag, where's my chivos?
Where's my chivos? Yeah. Like, it's totally fine to be disappointed with if you really like achievements. I long stopped giving a shit about achievements, like, back in the 360.
Well, I think some of the biggest insight I got into it was talking with Liam about how it was like, this is not something I'm enjoying, but I feel like I need to do it for completion's sake.
Well, it's 'cause, yeah,
and it's extraneous for that value.
Mindset.
It has nothing to do with the actual game or it has no bearing on the game, but I know that it exists and I know that it's a number that can go up that I can complete. So I feel the need to go through it.
I tried to get 1,000 gamer points on Prince of Persia Zero, Pop 2008 or whatever, right? Because it's not that hard, A. And B, like, there were some decent things to do. But like, I think that was the last one. I was like, okay, well, I don't care about this anymore. If Sonic Mania was announced to have no achievements, and if some guy goes, oh fuck, that sucks, I might not even play. I'm like, eh, maybe not. If you're really into that, but it's like, it doesn't have a platinum trophy. You can still get achievements. It just doesn't have the maximum amount, or
You can't get your big 1,000.
You can't get your big thing or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, you didn't actually care about Sonic Mania, did you?
There's people that like choose. Well, I used to work with somebody who would choose what games to play based on how quickly you could get their achievements, and that was how he gamed. That was how he went through the Xbox 360 generation. And it was horrible, but that was his life, and that's what he enjoyed, and that's what he wanted to do. And what can you say, man? Sure, dude, get that number up there. Hope you're having fun with it, you know? That's what it is. If you can take an honest look and really say, like, I'm enjoying this, I'm having fun, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
If you're feeling like I have to do it out of compulsion, then that is not a good thing. That sucks.
But it also, when you're like slinging insults at the game.
Yes,
that's,
exactly.
That's where the, like, I think there's a line that's being crossed there where you're like, are you okay?
It sounds like a depressing way to play your video games. Yeah. It really does. And I say this as a person who in the past has tried for some. If I'd be like, oh, this is a game I'm enjoying and I see this list here. Yeah, okay. Let me take a crack at it. I'll sure you can Sagat on round two.
I was just thinking about Street Fighter 4.
To get that little unlock. That's a fun one, right? Why not? And anything else that you're like, you're looking for, you enjoy the game enough that you want to do all the different things in it and see what it's got to offer, then by all means, you know, there's nothing wrong with that at all. It's just this particular type of person that is going to look at it and go, this game is now worse or worthless or not worth playing.
Not worth my time.
This incredible new fucking Sonic game is not worth my time because it doesn't have it. It's like, you are fucking weird. Go away. Mm. That's all. But the intro is really cool, though.
Yeah, and the some early reviews have been very good so far. It comes out tomorrow. I'm actually going to stream it on Liam's stream tomorrow, I think.
Fun.
Because he's really looking forward to it, obviously.
Res Infinite. You know what? I'm not going to show that picture because I feel like you got to get there and feel that emotion when it happens. Res Infinite is now available on PC.
It is.
And what can I say besides please, please, please
that's
play
it.
Res.
Just no, just please. Please, please, please.
Please, please.
All right, let's move on. Like,
well, here's a fun thing. I'm going to be out of town. This week I'm going to be heading down to Santa Ana, I believe.
California.
Or Santa Clara, whatever.
Santa Clara.
Yeah, I'm going to California. Because I'm going to play some Dragon Ball.
You're going to play
Big boy plays some big Dragon Balls.
Okay.
And that's going to be fucking awesome.
But the real reason you're going to California
is on that Friday night. It looks like there's a Res themed launch party, and they're
at like a nightclub or something.
At a venue, they're gonna have DJs playing remixes of Res music, and that just sounds like the coolest.
I can't wait to see the videos go viral of you naked on the dance floor, just Resing it up. You're trying to go into fetus mode.
Oh, man.
You try to evolve during the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I'm looking at people, scanning over them, going like...
Did someone give Wooly drugs? And someone goes, no.
and I press my bomb button, and I'm just like... I'm just tapping everybody on the head. Oh, my God.
Has Wooly been drinking? No. You didn't give him a drop.
Fear is the mind killer.
That'd be cool if they renamed the club or the venue or whatever it was to that.
So, yeah, please, please,
please. Please, 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 please.
Please.
Okay.
We've got... What do we got?
You're like, fuck it. I'm talking about the Res nightclub again.
No, I got something good.
Okay.
I got something good, and I think it's something you'll appreciate,
beep,
too.
Beep, beep, beep. Okay. Well, should I stall for more time?
You don't have to stall for time.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
The hero's back. Alan fucking Snyder returns.
Fucking look at that
Americano.
Costume.
The big American Shoto.
Alan Snyder of Street Fighter EX and Fighting Lair fame? Isn't
Fighting Lair.
So yeah, they announced this new character for Street Fighter, Fighting Lair EX,
Fighting Lair
Arika
EX.
Fighting
Thank
Game.
You. There you go.
And yeah, Alan
Guess
Snyder.
What?
What?
Anyone worth a shit is coming back.
No, they announced it's going to be 10 characters. Guess how many original characters were in Street Fighter EX games? 10.
Okay.
All the rest were Street Fighter characters.
So Cracker Jack and
Cracker Jack.
Well, but the Street Fighter
Blair.
Two. But there's also Street Fighter EX 2 characters. There's more than that because there's Area. There's Doctrine Dark.
I read it on some site. It said like one of the games had 10 characters.
Okay. Well. Area there Street Fighter X 2 had more, and I mean again when you take Pulimperna, Volcano Rosso, the
Blair,
you know,
like I said,
the Shadowgeist, right? There's a lot going
well,
on.
I think it's like launch we want it.
Blair Dame and
for 10 characters.
Yes. But anyway,
Rising Dragon,
Fire Bows.
Alan Snyder is awesome.
Yes.
There's no gameplay. Well, there's a camera pan of him, but you know, there's no gameplay of him.
No, yet. But I like how he's wearing his big American colors.
Ken should have had that costume in Street Fighter.
Well,
4 or
they
5.
Fucking they missed out, didn't they?
They did.
Instead, they put Ken in the King Cobra outfit instead of giving us King Cobra.
Yeah, yeah. You love that.
It's fine. Triple Blake.
Why does he sound like this?
Because look at his hair. He's an old anime character.
I thought he was supposed to be like Scottish or Irish or something.
But he's got that. He's got that.
He's in Dwight.
He's got that. Interstellar 555
yeah.
slash.
That look.
You know, just all that 80s anime hair and all that 80s anime look. He's got. God, what am I thinking of? Is it Viper?
Cobra,
right?
Yeah, it looks like Cobra.
Absolutely.
His hair's more orange. But
80s yeah. anime protagonist hair. So, of course, he's going to be all about his Twipple Blake.
I'm not sure. I know this is kind of weird, but like, I just saw a story that was on this website that you're on, just to the right, if you scroll up a bit. I want to know if you had that on the docket or not.
Well, you can tell the story and then okay. I'll finish looking at Alan Snyder's jiggling butt.
Yeah, it's like the jiggling butt physics.
There it is.
That was it.
Whoa, which story do you want to talk about?
That
Matt?
Is another Capcom related story where Apollo Justice is getting remastered for the 3DS.
Apollo coming back.
Story stream.
Yeah.
Apollo Justice, Ace Attorney coming to the 3DS in November with upgraded, like, you know, like more high fidelity visuals. New music and even a new feature to Dust for Prince or something like that.
I like his hair a lot. Yeah. I always like Apollo Justice's hairstyle. I think it's really cool.
And I liked it, like, you know, Apollo Justice is a little divisive among fans, but I remember really, really liking it.
Dude gets an eye patch, man.
Well, yeah, he gets an eye patch in the one after that, but yeah, sure. It looks really cool. So I thought that was cool. Just out of nowhere, I think it's to offset the fact that the Great Ace Detective 2 is coming out in Japan and it will never get localized.
Mm.
I think some fans were like a little salty about that. So Capcom's like, here, throw a bone, just re-release this.
I'll be welcoming to the Nero of a game series, right? A lot of people give some flack, but there's always sometimes there's something interesting going on if it's like, I am not Phoenix, I'm my own lawyer.
The weird thing is, does this happen where when the Nero is revealed in this game, the Dante is still there and he's the coolest he's ever been.
When you're not controlling him.
But yeah, when you're not controlling him. Then the Dante comes back and is lamer.
Yeah.
Because when they brought Phoenix back as the playable character, he was just regular old Phoenix. Like slightly more confident, but the Phoenix Wright in Apollo Justice is like the coolest ever.
Welcome to Solid Snake Syndrome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Best character in the game is the one you're not playing as.
You never get to play as that character.
The one you're playing as can't do anything but ask questions.
When they brought back Raiden in MGS4 and you're not allowed to play as
No.
him.
And when you, well, when you do get to be writing, you're fucking
awesome.
But in mainline Metal Gear games, it's just like the cool guy is the computer that is the AI NPC helping you out.
And he tells you that you're garbage.
And you're the one going, what?
Yeah.
All right.
So I'll get that again. It's easier than I don't even think I have Apollo Justice anymore, the cartridge. I think I gave it to a friend or gave it back or something.
Did it say? I should have checked what those new features were to elaborate on the story.
I think it's a fingerprinting mechanic for extra clues or something. Wasn't really sure, but upgraded visuals and better audio. I'm down with that too.
Updated 3D graphics, fresh take on the series, courtroom battles and investigations, skip text, switch between English and Japanese.
Ooh.
And more.
Forensic investigations plays a vital part in analyzing
forensics,
utilizing the features. Crime scene search for fingerprints and also examine certain objects in full 360 degrees, which was a feature they had in a later game, but they didn't have for Apollo Justice.
Okay, so this is going back to the same cases you know, but just making them a little harder.
Yeah. So yeah, includes two versions. So there's some stuff. There's some worthy stuff.
And there. Switch between languages. So if you want to go full weeb, you can yell Igyari.
Yeah.
And it'll take the command. All right.
Speed through fucking text dialogue is awesome.
Of course, of course.
Because, you know, it saves in such a way that sometimes you have to go through.
Oh, yeah. And, no, and God bless P5 for, I mean, P5 has the usual, like, speed through, and then it just takes you to the next choice.
Right.
And then
– chapter skip almost.
Yeah, it's a solid – it doesn't skip. It goes through it quickly. Okay. When it comes to that stuff, I feel like the absolute best I've ever seen in a video game is 999.
Oh, yeah. Well, it would, right?
Because it blasts through it, makes you make the decision, and then keeps speeding through it. But the moment new text you've never read shows up, it stops.
I could use this for Bible Black.
It's fucking great. Well, anyway.
I don't want to skip through the text.
If you've already read the text, it blasts through.
That's
it.
Cool. That's cool.
But it stops when you have something new, you know, when you've branched.
It just knows, like, oh, the player has seen this.
Yeah, it's a part of your save file, you know, and it's super fucking useful, man. So that's good tech. I like that. And I take it that that's just something that, you know, we need to get into our RPGs and not just in visual novels.
Yeah, not just in that.
Because visual novels,
any game, I would like it if there's even a bit of text.
Well, because when you're a visual novel and you've got your whole game is text and you have all these quality of life.
Any other game has like the little camera cutaways that show you when a door is opening that you wish you could skip. You can skip the cutscenes, but you can't skip like that long animation of a character running through a wall so you know to follow them. Like those things are sometimes not skippable.
Walk and talks.
Yeah. Yeah, walk and talks. Yeah.
So that's what it is. It's more just like take this quality of life visual novel tech and put it into video games proper.
There you go. One day video games will be good. One day.
One day, Nintendo won't be hit with lawsuits.
Oh, yeah?
This is a weird one. I don't know. It's more so just like...
Every system, a million companies come out of the woodwork and wait to see if these systems are successful, then yell at Nintendo saying you stole our idea.
But guess what, though?
What?
This one actually kind of looks like it.
Well, there's a million for the Wii.
But it's totally just... Yeah, exactly. So... And there's old enough footage of Nintendo's prototypes to fucking back their shit up. But what this is just there's a lawsuit going because the Switch design is close to something called the Game Vice WikiPad, and it's a tablet that adds two Snap-on controllers with a D-pad and stick on both sides, four buttons on the right, D-pad on the left, and it's just an Android tablet. And so they're trying to take him to court and stuff, but I'm pretty sure Nintendo's got all its patents together. I'm pretty sure it has all its like
early filed. And it's literally showing us a picture from 2012 where like
a Wii U gamepad prototype.
I mean, the Wii U in itself is just so similar to the Switch. It's just like you can detach the controllers, really.
Yeah. So, you know, it's
I love how these lawsuits only come out when the thing is super successful.
But it's just funny because, like, yeah, you're looking at it and you go, yeah, no, that's the layout, that's the shape, that's the design.
Yeah,
let's see what the judge has to say, because...
And the judge will be like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Why am I here?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's
all
like...
you nerds.
Well, guess what, though, what? Right? Controllers are almost a solved equation.
Yeah, yeah.
We're almost at a perfectly solved equation, because it's like through trial and error... Everyone has
like modern engineering, and just
we've all everyone has realized that your basic like stick and D-pad here, four buttons, four shoulders there, you know, whether like PlayStation sort of puts the stick down, other people want the stick up, but like the
those are just variants therein.
Exactly, the Xbox, PlayStation, and game, and Nintendo controllers, the Pro Pad at least, are all in such a close place that. It's very clear this is what we want a controller to be from now on. Like
the for standing controlling things, yeah.
Anyway, so that's kind of funny.
I look forward to not hearing about this story
ever again. Exactly. Let's take some letters, shall we?
Let's take some letters. You have a letter that you want to send us, you can do so at superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
That's
superbestfriendcast@gmail.com, Mechromancer.
Thank you.
You want to tell us about mechs you want to fuck? I should have started with that. Fuck.
You should have. Yeah, well, too late. Not
fast
enough.
Slice my bit to go in front of it.
Yeah.
Please, save me.
Oh, it's going to take too long for me to pull it up there, so I'll pull it up over here.
It's going to take too long, he says.
Take
he doesn't
too
have,
long.
He doesn't have time for that.
All right, we got one coming in from Mark. It says, "Dear Super Best of the Super Juniors."
That's a good one.
What fighting game character has the most consecutive tournament wins to your knowledge, lore wise?
That's difficult.
Isn't that just Ryu?
No, I don't know, man.
Ryu wins the Street Fighter 1 tournament
for sure.
Alpha doesn't count as a tournament because it's
Alpha
just Bison.
Alpha 2 does.
Alpha 2...
I have no idea who wins that.
Alpha 2 is... No, Alpha 2... Oh, God.
Yeah.
Alpha 2 replaces Alpha 1.
Yeah.
And Alpha 3 and
Alpha
is 3 the
is Wandering. Alpha 3 is
Wandering. Yes.
So, but I don't know who wins Alpha 2. I've never heard it. Only certain games will actually definitively say. Some don't, some do.
Like Tiamat taught us that Ryu has won... The Street Fighter 1 tournament, the Street Fighter 2 tournament. Okay, so he's got at least two under his belt. He doesn't win 3 because...
Wouldn't Alex win 3?
Because Oro shows up in the first bracket and fucking bodies Ryu. And then he gets forced into a training with this super strong guy.
I think Chun-Li wins a tournament somewhere. That strikes somewhere in my recollection.
How many tournaments does Liu Kang win?
You know who wins the most? Liu Kang, probably.
How many has he won?
Who?
Liu Kang.
He's won Mortal Kombat 1. I'm fairly certain he wins Mortal Kombat 2. And I'm almost positive.
Does he kill Shao Kahn?
Yes.
Okay.
Mortal Kombat 3, Mortal Kombat 4, I'm not so sure. But then he dies in Deadly Alliance, so he might have potentially won the first four tournaments, the first four Mortal Kombat.
So he's got at least four of them.
He's
okay.
got at least like two confirmed.
Yeah. Paul Phoenix.
Paul has been said to have not won some because he was distracted or he got fucked up. But I'm pretty
but
sure
Paul has won Tekken one. Tournaments that the Mishimas have not.
Yeah.
So. Jin wins 3 because Jin he gets three. To Ogre.
Yeah.
Right? So that much is clear.
I think it's in 3 where Paul thought he won, but the fight against Ogre was considered the real tournament win, and he was like,
and he walks away or whatever, right.
His glory was taken from
so,
him.
So yeah, so Paul hasn't won more than 3. So
my favorite is that Orchid wins KI 1.
Okay.
I love that. It's like you expect Jago to win, but no, it's Orchid. KOFs, any victories? Has it ever said who's won KOFs?
Canonical victories.
And that's weird because they're teams.
Canonical victories don't usually happen because the last boss fight ends up being this world domination plan that
like
they end up stopping. And in the process of stopping the world domination, the whole tournament gets fucking canceled or sent out of whack. Or the Nests cartel gets involved. You know,
Akira wins at least one Virtual Fighter because I remember their stories were like Wolf was furious that Akira beat him and went on to win the first tournament. And then I think he has a victory over Akira later. I don't know if Wolf wins the whole tournament.
Does Jackie doesn't get any?
I'm not sure.
Canonically?
Maybe Jackie does.
Well, but it's hard to say, but I definitely know that there are canon wins in the KOF series, but they're murky at best, unfortunately.
Murky at best.
So I'm going to give it. I'm gonna give it to Liu Kang. Yeah,
That's the closest I can.
Just pulling
think.
It right out of our ass. I'm gonna give it to Liu Kang. I think 4 plus. Not does he win 9?
Do you control Raiden or Liu Kang at the end of 9?
It's Raiden, yeah. Isn't it? Oh well.
In the story mode,
oh my God, here we
you
go.
Do kill like the very when you go through part 1, part
yeah,
2,
yeah,
part
yeah,
3.
Yeah, yeah.
Raiden is like, you usually Liu Kang and you beat Shang Tsung, then I believe you beat Shao Kahn, and then Liu Kang is like, what the fuck? How come it didn't fix itself the timeline? And Raiden's like, oh shit, I instructed you to do the wrong thing. It's not he must win Liu Kang, I meant Shao Kahn must win. And like he at least has 2 back to back wins.
I can't tell you what Soul Bad Guy has. I was gonna
move to Guilty Gear next.
Because Justice and Dizzy and fucking
it makes no sense.
That man has been through in the shadows the whole time, and I don't know what to tell you. Does Guilty Gear 2 Overture even count? Probably not. But whatever. Raven's back. He doesn't look as cool as he used to. Overture Raven looked
does
way cooler.
Does Exard count?
Exard is
no. But does Rev 2 not replace Exard? I don't know. Are they a new tournament?
No, story continues. Exard, Rev.
Wandering?
Exard Sign.
Yeah.
Exard Rev and Exard Rev 2 are all continuing the story. They're not, there's no replacements happening.
Okay.
Blayblue.
That's the next logical.
If you want to go central, you want to know, what am I talking about? Calamity Trigger to Chrono Phantasma to Central Fiction. And then the in between X Blaze shit or whatever it's called.
No, stop. Or Blazy Blue.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
The answer is Dong Dong. Dong Dong,
Dong Dong
is undefeated
has
in tournament.
The most wins. Did Sapo win the end of Bio Freeze?
Was Dark Rift won by
Morphix or no, Aaron Maverick? No, Demonica.
Demonica.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, well our answer is Liu Kang for now. Unless people prove us wrong.
There we go. Dong Dong is Liu Kang.
More or less.
Dear Super Glorious Scrub Lords, not too long ago, I had intended to hunt down a copy of Death Cargo for you.
Oh, thank God. But I'm assuming it
and I was actually close.
Oh.
I think you're a liar, sir. Let's keep reading. After hours of digging through the shadiest sites, I managed to get a copy of the files, but not get the game to actually run.
Oh, no.
I think you're lying, but
no, I believe that.
The recent event of a late-night barrel dive just to find the shitty violent fighting game, I remembered a certain controversy where the devs threatened people from Test Your Might forums and a Kotaku writer for shitting on the game and complete with allegedly bogus threats and whatnot.
I remember seeing bits of this.
What are other similar, perhaps, what is the worst example of bullshit like that you did witness yourselves where the devs or anyone related to said controversially bad game went as far as attacking the community and so on. Okay, whatever with that question, because you need to come in and explain
what happened with Death Cargo.
You got the files for Death Cargo, because that sounds like some shit. And I don't know if it's some bullshit or some true shit.
I want to play it so bad.
But I need to know, and you need to elaborate on Death Cargo.
Shit?
I want to know.
Or truth shit, yeah.
Right? This may be an untruth. You need to come in and tell us what the fuck is going on.
This may be a large collection of mini lies.
And we are not answering your question until you give us the truth. That's what's happening. You got that, buddy? All right? Cat unrelated? Elaborate, because we're pretty sure Death Cargo isn't real. You're asking yourself, what is Death Cargo?
What are these files I have?
Guess what? Google Death Cargo and find out what Death Cargo is, and you'll understand why we need it.
Or put Death Cargo into YouTube. You'll probably get some things faster.
Done and done.
Oh.
That's your answer.
I appreciate that he tried, though.
I'm clicking the doubt button on that one.
I've never.
I'm not going to my list of lies to accuse
you're
you.
You're not even going into the lie to feel out you know, what he's going to say.
I'm clicking that doubt button.
Just to expand on it a little bit. Have you ever actually seen any situation like Death Cargo where the developer says the game exists, people are playing it and enjoying it, but no one actually is, and everyone's like, I can't get the game. Like, is there anything the developer insists there is gameplay footage, but it's like there's not actual matches. There's bits of gameplay. It's like the developer almost wants to see if people will believe this is a game that they can buy and install on computers.
I can't say that I have.
It's amazing.
Because the closest thing I can think of was the Phantom console.
That's close.
But that never came. They never said it was out enjoying it.
Yeah.
The Phantom just ended up the Infinium Phantom.
Infinium
Labs, right? They just said they were making a console and they had tons of support and people and everyone's big companies. Everyone's making games on our Infinium console. They just told big, huge, big lies about their big console. But I don't think they ever said it came out.
No, I don't think so. So I think the Death Cargo situation is quite unique. A beast unto itself.
Yeah, I think so. All right, we got one coming in from Akuta Bar.
Yeah, I've seen Akuta Bar around.
Their super best friends, Melee. Have you ever seen a stage demo of a game that gave you a very convincing, awful impression, but the game turned out great? That's a really good question.
It is. It's hard to think of them, though. But
I'm thinking in particular of a 2016 demo of FF15 where they tried the demo. They tried to demo the fight with the Titan on stage, but there was some kind of sync issue with the controller and 5 minutes of Noctis getting pulped. I had actually stayed mostly in the dark until that demo, so I thought the game was going to be shit. I would like to know if you have any other examples that come to mind.
That's a good one. I was actually thinking about the other day. I was talking to someone about FF15, and I brought that up. I was like, remember, it was like everyone was like,
bad demo, good game.
I mean, there's bits here and there. It was like
Doom.
It was like
did Doom have a really bad demo?
No, because it was the demo no one saw. Remember the demo that they showed at Quake?
That's just like press.
And it wasn't bad.
Okay,
like it was like it wasn't the exact same game.
I mean, no one got their hands on FF15, so if we're counting that, then we can count like I guess not hands on. Where they show off a game and it looks really bad.
It's like Drake fell through the world in an Uncharted 4 thing, but I mean that game turned out like good. So yeah, it's a hard one because you're trying to think of like the actual like disasters on stage, but usually they wind up being disasters. The games, it's not the opposite.
Metal Gear Rising was in a weird place early on, but I still thought
you thought it might be bad. You're actually like, I don't know.
Well, the slicing seemed a little bit difficult for like combat because it was kind of slow.
Yeah, you mean the original Konami,
the original Metal Gear Rising,
the Platinum version.
But then you see the GIFs of the wall running, and you go, "Fuck, though, that looks incredible."
Yeah.
So I don't know if that. I don't think that really counts. You know. I'm having a hard one on that one.
I guess it was like one of the earlier showings of Skyward Sword was like the Wii was not syncing and Miyamoto was frustrated and whatever. Yeah. And like, you know, Skyward Sword still had like, you know, control niggles here and there, but that made a bad impression on me where you're watching and you're like, well, you know, it's Zelda, it'll still be of a certain quality. And while Skyward Sword isn't my favorite game, I still wound up like enjoying it for the most part. So there was that kind of smelly demo.
Yeah, I guess when I originally thought that the question was about like a playable demo, but if we're just going by stage,
well, there's only so many. Like, we can't play much, can we?
But I don't. At the same time, it's like if the game looks like a good game, but then you see the stage demo not working, that doesn't really make you think the game's going to be shit. It just makes you think there's a problem with the demo.
Usually games that are actually like shitty and you can tell they're shitty don't get a stage demo to begin
with. At all, you know? Right?
Like they're not confident.
So, that's the thing is like...
Knight's Contract is not up on the big screen getting a big demo.
I'm trying to think of something I don't know, whatever. Regan Live. It's not going to show up on a stage anytime soon, nor would it back then.
Good pull.
But I just don't know if any game that has a mistake on the demo or like a bug on the demo necessarily counts as much as a functioning demo where the game just looks uninteresting.
I have a really interesting one that goes way back, and we don't have any personal experience with it, but I was reading a thing. It was at E3 1996. That's when they had the first version of StarCraft out, where it was garish. Ooh. It was like, it was very 2D, and they had pinks and purples and greens. And that was when Blizzard's mandate at the time is, let's just make Warcraft in space. And they showed it, and the receptionists, everyone's like, this is hideous looking. It looks awful. We're like, what are you doing? And they were like, shit, fuck. And then they just took it back. And they said, we got to scrap everything and redo everything. If you see screenshots of it, it looks horrible.
Okay, well, my answer is King of Fighters 14.
Yeah, yeah. When I played it at PAX East last year, I did not like it. It was much slower than the final version. Some horrible load times. And just it just I was not liking it at all, and it looked worse than what it did when it actually came out, even before that patch. And now, I mean, I was literally giving it praise earlier on in this very podcast. I'm like, it's a really good, fun fighting game, lots of features and lots of content. And it's like, could it look better? Yes, I wish it did. But
it got where it needed to be.
It got where it needed to be. That's a good answer, because we did both get hands-on time on that. I think you were a little more positive on it than me. I can't remember.
You played it? Yeah. Gameplay felt fine to me right away. It was just visual. It was just the 3D. Didn't look good. And I know the unrealistic expectations coming off of 13. That's like, it's depressing that they just don't have the money, time, or ability to do that anymore. And anyone under, like, is one sprite a day is a ridiculous work pace.
But that's why.
King of Fighters at that point was known for being the most beautiful looking fighting game.
Yeah, but what's great now is that if, you know, they go on to make a 15, that they have this really solid 3D engine, and then they can just hopefully just layer in more, like, shaders and lighting and textures, and hopefully it'll just look better next time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, when you heard that, like, it was like, okay, Chinese company buys out KOF, and then, like, really bad looking CG starts going about, you're like, KOF's dead. That's it. It's over.
KOF Destiny.
You know, but like, yeah, but again, they, you know, they took enough feedback to fix that up, and they kept the gameplay tight. So God bless, you know, you did what you could out of that scenario, and you got a good game out of it. But it'll never be the like cutting edge fighting game in terms of visuals.
Because make no mistake, when 12 came out, like, I did not like 12 that much in terms of its gameplay.
Gameplay was terrible in 12.
And its systems were just
gameplay was awful. Nothing. Yeah, it was super
like,
bad.
13 was just like, it looks good and it plays much, much better and has much more like interesting systems that weren't like just bolted on nothings of systems. It was the death cargo of fighting games.
Oh my god.
Except people got to play it.
Alright. And
you got one more to pull out of the hat.
One more. Let's see. Looking for a good one.
You'll never find one.
Let's just pick this randomly and see what.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good way to choose.
A hair Snoopy chest fluff cast.
Yes.
In episode 207, when discussing cloning privileges in Strike Vector EX, Pat said that cloning is a trick, that the clone isn't actually you. Wooly agreed, and Matt continued to talk about how rad fighter mechs.
Okay.
That's how that sentence ends.
How rad fighter mechs.
My question is this. Considering that over the course of 1 year, 90% of your body's atoms are replaced, and over the course of 10 years, every cell in your body is replaced, where do you draw the line in terms of something's new still being you? In essence, where do you stand on the ship of Theseus paradox? The ship of Theseus paradox is the one that basically puts forth that if you take a boat and you say that this boat is – you know, your boat. This is Matt's ship.
Yes.
I replace a plank of wood. Is it still your ship?
Yes.
Okay. I replace two.
So over time, how much?
How many? At what point?
How is it?
Is this no longer your boat?
You know what I'll say? I'll be very mathematical here. When I no longer have 50% of that boat. If then 51% of that boat is yours, then it's yours.
When you have a shareholder's majority.
Yeah, when you have a shareholder's majority. If I keep cloning myself and each time I lose 1% of what makes me, when I go below 50%, I don't think that's no longer me.
Okay, interesting. I respect that. I disagree. I think I see consciousness as a continuity, and I see that from moment to moment and from time to time, your identity is like it changes as things become a part of it. And I don't think that your starting state differing from your end state is necessarily what determines what is you and what is not you in a philosophical sense.
Well, I was kind of going through the boat analogy where you said you replace a plank.
If you replace –
that's a little more less simple than the human body.
Right. But if you – it's just – to me, it's if you do it all immediately, if everything gets replaced right away, if you tear down a house and build up a new house with completely different ingredients and material, it's a different house.
Yeah,
right?
I agree.
If you rip my body apart and put it back together with completely new parts – it's not me anymore. It's a different body.
Right.
You know what I mean? But if you slowly replace things one by one, I guess it feels like it almost feels
like why would time?
I don't know.
I get where you're kind of going, but like it's
different. I think it's because identity.
You can acclimatize to that new part.
And make it your own. Yeah. And like the rate at which your mind identifies your body as yourself is. It's a variable relative rate, but that is something to be accounted for so that when something suddenly becomes not you, like it's too fast for your body to feel that this is –
well, like in Deus Ex or a type of fiction of where identity. It's like, oh, I lost my arm. Replace it with something. But your body rejects the foreign thing because it assumes it's an invader and fights back to it. It's like, no, this is not actually part of me. I won't accept it. Mm-hmm. That's why they have that drug in Deus Ex that like it supposedly cures that, actually helps the body accept that part.
Yeah,
well, after
what's
a
it
while.
Called?
God.
There's the
I
word.
Had to say it for like a bunch of
months,
too.
Yeah, no, I know.
For years I tested
something
that
X
game.
Or whatever. Something X, isn't it? But yes. But I think that like anytime you like adapt, right, you get used to something different being part of you, then like that is then you. I think it's that simple.
But I think my only difference here is, but like I say, after a certain point,
neuropazine.
Thank you. After a certain point, you have less of what you had when you started.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's my thing. That's why I use the percentage thing. It's like after a certain point, I no longer have the majority of either like a mental thing, like your mind or your body physically. If I get replaced with robot parts, I mean, that's more of the physical nature of myself, but my personality, people don't hang around me for my stunning good looks and my ripped body. They want to hang around me because, like, I don't know, I'm a good friend or whatever. You know what I mean?
I know
so
what
it's
you
like,
mean.
It's like, I don't know.
Look,
it's a very
here's what I'm
interesting
saying.
Interesting question.
I'm saying that your body is really just a shell.
Yes, I'll agree
and
with that.
And inside of it, your consciousness and your identity, let's call it, I don't know, a ghost.
I like that.
It floats about in a with a sense of identity.
Yes.
And if we were to take that and discard the shell and just keep the ghost and then upload the ghost to the internet.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that you become a living conscious entity.
Right.
That is one with the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still you? Yes, I think you are. I think... The major is still the major, even though the major is also the internet.
So if you remember in The Sixth Day with Arnold Schwarzenegger, it was cloned blank bodies and you re-uploaded your consciousness to them each time. And you remember what you just remember. When people get killed in that movie, they get re-uploaded to a new body.
Immediately.
Immediately, because their minds are being backed up on hard drives and shit. And they're just like, oh, finally I'm back. All right, let's go. And then you just start running. That's like still you. But then other fictions will say, well, what if something goes wrong each time you get cloned and get less and less of yourself? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's that. But also what you just said about your mind – it's like the RoboCop thing. RoboCop, it's barely him
yeah.
in his mind. He has these fractured memories. when you start going in that type of fiction, you start presenting that idea, like there's so much that's been ripped out and replaced. Like, I'm going to say RoboCop is barely Alex Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is on the, he owns one tiny little to apartment.
To him, though.
In that city.
Right. To him, though, of course, he's still him because he's still got his brain and such. Now, I mean, the scary version of this, and this is the part that, like...
Ooh, the scary version.
Well, it's not so much the scary version, but it's like, it's the real talk, right? And the part that, like, I enjoy talking about this type of stuff is the fact that you're like, you go, okay, so, what is your body, right? Your body's a collection of organs, putting, yeah,
and bones
and whatnot together and such. A bunch of cells really all trying to survive,
mm-hmm.
Okay? How do they survive, right? And this is something that like Richard Dawkins actually gets into in some of his books. But the basic idea is that your sense of self and like what you consider I is possibly, not confirmed, but possibly.
Well, I'm not sure if anything can be confirmed in this types of talks.
Yeah,
but sure.
It's possible that reason why you have your sense of self,
yeah,
is because through mutation and through random chance,
mm-hmm,
right? The configuration of human being that saw all of its parts connected to itself and all of these cells and everything that's a part of its body,
yeah,
as the one that saw it as all me, it saw it as all one unit, one organism, one being,
yeah,
that needed protection and preservation, would have a better chance at surviving than a collection of parts that were working in, that were symbiotically with each other, where the heart's doing its own thing, just pumping blood.
And the heart's not aware of anything else.
And the feet are just trying to get where it's going. And then it's like, the stomach needs food and the blood's going around the body and the fingers are like, what? Like, if you were just a collection of random bits and pieces and like your eyes just felt like eyes witnessing things and reporting back to like nothing. You know, and then your brain is like,
"Hey, it just knows that those signals are getting sent somewhere."
Exactly, and if you felt disconnected from the rest of your body constantly, and there was no sense of I, you would have a much harder time surviving and preserving and continuing to propagate your species.
Right,
right. So, through freak mutation, there was a shot that you would basically get a version of humans where they're like, "Oh fuck, I need to protect myself."
Yeah,
and that's what the illusion of I and of self is. So that question itself, you have to take it back to the root of what you think identity is.
Okay, so that's really interesting. And if someone's to say that to me, I'd be like, "Yeah, I could see that. I could see why the sense of I is like a protection, like saying, but you know, where do animals fit in, for example? Because animals do not have a sense of I or like I am." But they have impulses saying, I don't want to get fucking wiped
out. Get out of there, yeah.
Get out of there. Yeah, and that's natural language.
Fight or flight.
It's fight or flight, exactly. So, like, does that fit in at all?
Because
they want to procreate, too, and they want – if anything, animals have more of a sense of, like, gotta fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta protect kids, but we will always, like, people make the conscious decision, I don't want fucking kids. I'm not part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird.
Yeah, it is. I think animals.
The universe is awful.
Animals have a simplified version of, you know, if anything, of just the basic things that we have in, with survival, right?
Yeah.
And the reason why they're still around is because they're individual machines, they're biological machines that, like, worked and allowed them to, like, worked way better than millions upon millions of random ass variations that were inferior to that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The dog and cat you see today is the best version of a dog and a cat because it's here.
I don't know. I think there must
it's the one
like
that
some
survived.
Type of mega cat.
Okay. But a mega cat that's crushed under its own giant weight.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
You know what I mean? All that to say that I think that as long as Motoko Kusanagi,
mm-hmm,
feels that she can call herself by her name and call herself I,
mm,
while freely floating in this ghost consciousness of infinity, she still has an identity. There's no body there. I think it's legit because she thinks it's legit. And I think that's all it takes.
Yeah.
So, you know, to answer the question, I suppose, there is no answer. But the answer lies in the heart of battle.
But it's interesting to think about.
It's interesting to think about. And I my feelings are not the correct answer, but my feelings are that gradual change still feels like a part of you, sudden total change feels like it would be different.
What if you had two heads? Well, and it was another guy.
Well, Idol and
yeah.
And I don't know, whatever.
But okay, I always
am I controlling left the half of the body? Or am I controlling the whole body?
It's the most uncoordinated mess of a person ever.
I mean,
they can only control the left and control the right.
You know, Siamese twins that are like super attached.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like are a thing, but they are actually two people just like
yeah, that just attached. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, yes. In conclusion, play near says everyone.
Okay.
Obviously, we're going to. But there's your discount philosophy talk.
There
for
you
the day.
Go.
That's not what you tune in for, but every once in a while, it's fun.
It's fun.
What's coming out? Existential crisis, yes, transhumanism is coming out this week.
We're playing another Deus Ex game now. So let's just go and say it. You and I are going to start playing Mark Echo's Getting Up. Contents Under Pressure. That's starting this week.
The pressure is high.
The contents are under great, great duress and pressure.
You want to just talk about what the fuck happened?
So you'll see in the first two parts that it just kind of, after the second part of this LP goes up, it just kind of ends in a weird spot.
We were playing the Xbox version of it.
On disc and everything.
And then it just died.
The Xbox just turned itself off. That was one of our modded Xbox. I believe it was Pat's that we got from Ari, the Greek engineer. Mm-hmm. Can't trust that Xbox ever.
Bro, you gotta go Subway Surfing, bro.
You gotta paint some bomb ass pieces on that wall, bro.
I'm just saying, I know you didn't ask me, bro. Rosario Dawson, though.
That's such a good reveal.
I'm just saying.
I totally forgot that she was in that. So we're gonna be playing that. So we're gonna have to switch to either another version. We're trying to check out the Steam version, make sure we have no controller foibles.
But the Steam version is not without its foibles.
It has some foibles, especially the control issues, since it has partial controller support. But we're going to try to work on that. At the very end of the day, we'll just take one of – I have several Xboxes originals, so we might just continue on there. But it's good fun so far.
Okay.
Looking forward to see, because you never saw that game running,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, no.
You know other stuff somehow.
But I don't actually – haven't actually played it.
Neither of us have actually beaten it or whatever, so that's going to be doing. I think we're wrapping up. I think there's one more part of L.A. Noire.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Cat Lady finished, it's not such a secret that I sat down with Pat and we farted into microphones for a couple hours.
And then Minecraft happened to be playing on a TV near you.
Yeah. Okay. So that's going on. Maybe I should put
Telltale. I should put
a poll out asking people if I should have Minecraft completely muted. Or if I should have, or if we should
you
have
should
it.
Play other music in the room.
Or like, should we have Minecraft the game completely muted, or should we have it barely audible?
Have
at
the audio
level?
Of a Rick and Morty episode going on in the background.
I wonder, you know, because I hear a lot of people saying I wish they turn off Minecraft completely, and I want to know if that's the majority.
Yeah, I absolutely put out a poll for that.
Cool.
I can't imagine anyone be like, I want to hear the epic, whatever it is that's happening in Minecraft. So yeah, you guys are doing that. Walking Dead is also
someone dies
in a Walking Dead game.
In Minecraft.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Do you?
It's the pick.
Okay, I thought you meant you died.
Oh well, I've been dead.
You've been dead for a while.
I didn't sleep last night.
It just seems like it. Walking Dead, probably my least favorite thing Telltale's ever done of what I've played. Obviously, I haven't played Minecraft. You know, I assume that's worse. But really, really disappointed with that game in general. Yeah. Sorry, it is what it is. It had some bits. It had some good bits. But me and Pat, when we finish it, we talk about exactly like a few changes could have made this totally fine and like good even, but for whatever reason they chose what they chose for Walking Dead, the new frontier.
Super Best Friends Play continues to staunchly refuse refuse to play Tales from the Borderlands. Yeah. Is what people are saying.
Yeah. We have no interest in Tales of the Borderlands. Like, we have no interest in the Borderlands.
Oh, I played
universe.
Them. I played them.
No, no, you did. Mm-hmm. But when there was talk of doing stuff, it was like, well, we don't care about Borderlands, so why would we play this?
Oh, the main games, right?
Yes,
right,
yes. Right. Why would we play this spinoff? We don't really understand. And now it's just like, now we're just ages away from that game being done.
It's still the best one they've ever made.
It's still the best one they've ever
made. So, I don't know. Maybe someday.
So, yeah, all that's kind of wrapping up and continuing and shit. So, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that's it for now. It's all we can announce. It's all we got. Nothing else. I don't think we've actually decided about anything else after that point.
No, I mean, you know, Batman's coming back, so we're going to do that
That's going to take a while for
it is going to take
back,
a while.
So,
yeah. All right, so that's what's going down.
What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to L.A. L.A. I'm looking forward to
La La Land.
I'm looking forward to Rez. That's going to be fun. Seen some boys. But I'm also looking forward to, fuck it. Let's throw it out there. I'm going to be heading down to Amsterdam.
Whoa.
For the first time, I'm going to be going.
It would be funny if you're like, this is my seventh trip.
Yeah. No, I mean, my first time across the ocean in not Japan.
Right.
So I'm going to be heading over to Amsterdam for, I think, about a week. Still just kind of wandering around.
Well, when is this?
Dates are not 100% set yet, but they'll
months.
Be. End of this month.
End of this month. Cool.
Yeah, all right, end of this month. I'm going to be basically just wandering around. And, you know, I don't have a full itinerary because Japan, it's like I've been planning all my life.
Your life, yes.
So I had the list. I knew exactly what to do, where to go,
and
whatnot.
Out of the room. You had a little list of places you wanted to visit.
Exactly. And that's the only place on earth. You know, besides like, there's like one or two other places where I'm like, okay, I know exactly where I want to go. But Amsterdam's a place where I'm just like, let's just go check it out.
Right.
And might end up other places. But yeah, if people have like fun ideas and suggestions, let me know. Things worth checking out. I heard that there's a 2 Michelin star restaurant. So I don't know. Maybe I'll see if I can get in a meal over there. That's I don't know if they're going to fucking kick out a ragamuffin like me, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do. If they don't, that'd be cool. And yeah, I don't know if we have any fans that listen from the Netherlands, but if you do,
none off the top of my head,
maybe I can say hello. I don't know.
Sure.
Get in touch. Maybe I'll say something, or maybe I'll end up somewhere. I don't know. I'm just kind of weirdly winging this out there, but yeah, I'll be in the Netherlands for a little bit because who knows? I don't know.
Who knows?
Whatever.
This week, really want to check out Sonic Mania and Observer, the horror cyberpunk game that stars Rutger Hauer.
Observer, there's another.
Yeah, there's another one.
There's another one.
Yeah, that stars Rutger Hauer of Hobo with a Shotgun and Blade Runner fame.
Nice.
So I want to check that out because it's from the makers of Layers of Fear. So I want to see if that's a thing or not. So
cool. Yeah. Yeah, I guess
transhumanism.
That's it. I guess that's it. I'm looking forward to continue being myself in this body.
Yeah, I also look forward to you continuing to be yourself.
The wooliness of Wooly and the Mattness of Matt.
Mm.
As we move forward in time,
Mattitude.
And more than anything, I look forward
to Mechromancer.
To Mechromancer. See you later, guys.
See ya. Not a cave, I'm not a robot.